Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're with you until 5 a.m. Welcome back to me. I was missing for a week. Hello, Roger Badish.
Well, hello, Matt Bubala. I missed you.
I didn't miss you or Jess.
I missed you more.
I didn't miss
she
either of you.
She missed you more.
You know why?
What?
Because I was in Florida, and it was a lot better than it is here now.
I only have one thing to say to you.
That's very mature, Roger.
Thank you.
No, I did miss you guys. I always miss being here and being with you listeners who can join us at any time at 312-981-7200. That's the call-in line. That's also the text line, 312-981-7200. Find us on social media at Matt Bubala on Twitter, The Matt Bubala Show on Facebook, and Matt Bubala on Instagram, where we try to be more diligent about sharing things with you throughout the week. Where to begin?
Well, why don't you, you gave me some good news when you walked in here. I am very.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to do that now?
I guess that is the lead, isn't it?
I think so.
For the first time in over a month, we are ordering pizza tonight.
Look at you. You're going to make me break my vow.
What was your vow?
Well, of trying to eat better.
Well, moderation, Roger. Moderation.
I'm doing moderate. I had a pizza.
You had a whole pizza?
That's not moderation. On Thursday, it was a gluten-free pepperoni pizza. It wasn't that big.
Okay.
But I'm trying to eat more because I feel better.
Yeah.
I really
you
do.
You know what today is, Jess? Today is day 32 of no Diet Coke.
Wow.
I survived my 30-day challenge.
How long are you going to go?
I'm going to try not to go back. Now, I do have other things.
Good job, like earlier today, I bought, I don't know if it's an
8-pack that they sell them in. I don't think they're 6-packs of Dr. Pepper in the 8-ounce cans.
Soda again.
What I do is I can have like one a day, or I try not to even do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
8 ounces only.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Don't
Roger.
Worry. Just carry on. Just
Roger.
I'll be the voice in the back of your head. You go right ahead.
I am down 17 pounds.
That's what I was looking for, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
17 pounds since the Christmas day from hell when I got deathly ill and lost 10 pounds in 2 days. For a little kickstart on this whole thing.
Yes.
But since then, kept it up and now down 17 overall. Under 2 bills for the first time
in a couple of years. I'm very proud of you. I know the feeling.
I'm very proud of me, too.
You ought to be.
I just can't, you know, end up the same way 6 months from now.
No.
So I am drinking lots of water. I'm being good about exercises. Yeah. And I'm trying to be very good about moderation when we eat.
Yes.
So I'll try not to eat the entire pizza tonight. Just have a couple of slices. But I haven't eaten since 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You're hungry.
I am hungry.
Yeah.
So I think this is okay.
I always eat when I come in here. I come in early.
Mm-hmm.
And while I prep my newscast and stuff and write some stories, I eat my so-called dinner.
Right.
So I had my gluten-free and dairy-free mac and cheese with chicken Italian meatballs.
You were tweeting about that earlier this week. Somebody was asking about the gluten-free, dairy-free mac
delicious.
And cheese.
Yes.
I'm going to have to try that. I'm really going to tell you I'm very skeptical about the delicious going along with that.
You mean for the cheese because it's dairy-free?
The whole thing, yeah.
Well, all right. I have one in the other room. I have another one in the refrigerator, mm-hmm. just in case I get hungry again mm-hmm. as we go towards 6 o'clock.
I'll try it next weekend when we're not doing pizza. Because this is one and done, people.
Should I bring an extra one in for you? I'll bring an extra one in for you.
I just want a bite. Can I just bring my fork and take a bite?
Then you can take a bite.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah, don't give me a whole one.
All right.
Mac and cheese is
Do you want the Alfredo?
You know how good mac and cheese is when you're dieting?
This one's not too bad.
Mac and cheese is such a good comfort food.
Yes.
And have you noticed that everywhere you go right now, it seems like you can order mac and cheese?
Well, everyone's making, it's this grand 10-course meal version of mac and cheese.
It's like
everything in the world is in it.
Now, I'm not at any fancy restaurants where I'm saying this, but two places that I frequent often.
Mm-hmm.
One is Panera.
Yep.
They have a good mac and cheese. When we go, Anna always gets mac and cheese and chicken noodle soup. And it's the weirdest combination, but that's what she gets. Mm. And it works for her. But they have some mac and cheese like dinners at Panera right now. And I get this mac and cheese with grilled chicken with barbecue sauce and like fried onions.
All mixed together?
And, well, it's kind of layered on top.
Okay, okay.
And cilantro, but I always ask for it with no cilantro because I'm not a huge cilantro fan. I feel like it changes it. But that is so good. But it's a lot of calories.
Oh, a ton of calories.
Huh? But then also at Potbelly.
Ooh, Potbelly.
Which we have right underneath the studio I have. So it's very close and easy. Potbelly has mac and cheese. And their options for additions to it are like chili, which is awesome. Jalapeno.
Ooh, hot stuff.
Bacon.
Oh my gosh.
And I want to say there's one other. I don't know if it's like roasted red pepper or what it is, but you know, that's so good, but it's just so not good for you. But man, is mac and cheese is a delicious comfort food.
Yeah, it definitely, but this one, the gluten-free one that I have and the dairy-free, it's very light. I do not feel full from it.
Well, I'm not that surprised. You're taking out a lot of the good stuff.
Well, no, but I...
Well, they are.
Not a lot of bacon and
You don't have all that.
By the way...
Yes, sir.
Oh, see, now I don't hear it.
Oh, is there somebody behind me?
No, not somebody. I can't hear someone behind you. But I'm hearing some really light music. I was just a second ago. Oh.
Jess, were you playing some light music?
I hear it now. Very, very, very soft.
I
have very sensitive ears. So.
I don't hear it. Do you have your ears are still good after all these years in radio?
Sort of. I have what do they call it? Tinnitus.
Right?
Tinnitus is that? What, it's I sometimes not a ringing. It's not a ringing in my ears. But sometimes I hear I have like a buzz going on. But I've been to hearing tests because a lot of times I have to cut my ear to sometimes, not to hear someone, but to...
Just to hear it clearly?
Hear it clearly so I understand the words they're saying. I can still hear them.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the brain's not processing the words correctly.
It's so funny. I find myself doing the same thing.
No way.
I don't cup it like we're in the 1920s, like you're doing.
Hey.
But you know, put the old shoot. What it was
the old horn in your ear?
Horn into the ear.
What, Sonny? What did you say?
What horn was that? Was that like it's like the Thanksgiving? What's that called?
The cornucopia.
The cornucopia.
Horn?
Yeah. Put a cornucopia up to my ear.
Yeah.
No, but I find myself turning my head.
Yes. So you can hear better
without even thinking about
it.
Yeah.
And you think you're turning the good ear towards something.
Yeah.
But I did this for the last couple of years. I was teaching. Kids, I'm looking right at the student, I'm watching their mouth, and they're saying something to me, and I'm like, I hear you talking, and I think it's about what we're talking about, but I don't understand the jumble of words you just said.
Yeah.
And I would scare the students because I'd ask them to repeat it about six times. Sometimes it got bad.
Was that hearing, or was that just you?
It's not
blacking out from teaching children, and you know, just,
it might have been there.
Yeah.
But I've had hearing tests, and I'm fine.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
yeah. I wonder, you know, because here in radio, when you work in radio, and we have these headphones on, and we tend to, you know, whenever Jess plays the music, this is very interesting. And did either of you guys see? And we can't play it on the radio because of what it is. But there was a thing going around the internet, I'm sure you saw it, Roger, a couple of weeks ago with Grover from Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah, whether he was saying a dirty word or not a dirty word.
Supposedly he's dropping an F-bomb in this piece of
video. Somebody on the station played it with it beeped out, and they kept trying to figure out if he was saying it or not saying it.
Well, the interesting thing was, what I read was, and I don't know if any of this is truly true about that piece of video audio, but they were saying that... Once we get out of our 20s, we lose like a register or whatever.
Frequency.
And that younger kids would hear him saying it, but older people would not hear him saying it.
Oh.
And I played it and I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was just, well, of course it's not even there. You're just going to sit there thinking you can't hear it or if it was real.
Plus the power of suggestion after a while.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's saying, hey, did you? Yeah. Oh, it was John Williams. It was John.
Who played it?
Yeah, during one of his shows, yeah.
figuring that nobody, you know what happened? John played it, Violetta heard it, and then she quit right then and there.
Walking oh,
right
my God. Is that what it
that's
was?
That's the truth of what actually
gosh.
Happened.
There you go.
She was the only one here young enough to hear it. And she said, I'm offended, and she walked right out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, leave it to John to do that.
Yeah.
By the way, you texted in on Thursday to him.
I did text it. I called in, too.
Oh, you called in, too?
Well, maybe not on the same day. What day?
It was Thursday that he said you just texted in.
And did he say?
He said you were one of their co-hosts here. And I'm thinking, co-host? I go, what the? And he says, well, he's a host of a program, and so we're co-workers, and he's a co-host. And I'm going, okay.
I talked to him on the air on Wednesday.
Okay.
Because him and Steve Bertrand were, you know what, let's get, Roger, we're right back at it. We're just all over the place.
Take
like
a break.
A couple old men driving off-road on a two-lane highway. Man. Real quick, I want to stay with the hearing just for a second.
Okay.
Because I wanted to mention, so there's the Grover thing where, we can't hear certain things.
Right.
And working in radio, we tend to, overdo things. There's a host here. And I won't name him because I don't know if he's got a hearing problem. But whenever I've come into a studio after him and, you just pick up the headphones, you put them on.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
I've had
yeah,
to throw them off my head because
so
it was so loud.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, oh, man, he's clearly got terrible hearing loss going on.
Well, in my early years, I played a lot of, I did a lot of music shows.
Right.
And all kinds of music. I was doing middle of the road stuff. I was doing some easy jazz. And I was doing some rock and roll. And I always had, actually, I used to have the cans. I have earbuds now.
Right.
But I had what we call in the business cans, which are regular earphones that cover your ears, headphones.
Like I'm wearing right now.
Right. And I always had the left one off.
So you could hear what else was going on?
So I could hear what was going on. There was a door behind us. So I wanted to make sure I, heard people coming into the studio, whatever, or if an alarm went off because the transmitter went down or whatever. But the right one was always jacked up high because I love listening to rock and roll music.
Is that the ear you have issues with now?
I think so.
Isn't it funny how we have problems with ears, but we can't tell which one?
Yeah.
I'm always turning my head to really hear somebody, yet I don't know which ear I turn.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jess plays the bump music, so whenever we come back from a break or out of your news and Jess is playing music, when I start talking, every single time, I hear the music really loud and clear.
Yes.
But as I start talking to the mic, I don't hear myself well. And I have to turn up the headphones more to hear myself coming through the headphones. And I don't know if that's just my head or what that is. But that drives me crazy. And I'm assuming that's related to my hearing. And I'll notice, when I most notice it, besides that I'm always turning my head now, is when I go to bed at night.
Ah.
If, like, there's... Colleen plays this ambient noise now at night, like, on her phone. She got into this habit and now is sort of addicted to playing, like, either ocean sounds or other things.
Right, a little white noise kind of stuff.
If I'm facing one way on my pillow, I can't hear it that well. If I'm facing the other way, I hear it very clearly.
Well, obviously, you're turned a different way.
Well, yes.
If your back is to it, you can't hear it.
No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your back is to it. Your ears aren't in the forehead.
One ear is on the pillow.
One ear is covered, and the other ear is. Doesn't matter which way I'm facing. It's which ear hears
But your
better.
Ear, the way the ear is set up, if you're facing away from
behind?
It.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's not going to come in as directly as if you're facing the sound.
Interesting.
Think about it.
Because of the way the waves are going.
Just the way the waves are going. Yeah.
Can I give you a 94%?
Plus, it depends also on the frequency. When was the last time you had your ears checked?
I'm guessing Catholic grade school? I don't know.
Go in and just have a... they do the tones.
I know, but why? Why am I doing that? Just to find out?
Just to find out.
Hey,
maybe
guess
there's
what, Matt? You really are going deaf. Congratulations.
Maybe there are just some frequencies that you just are not able to hear now.
You know, I'm going to tell you something because it's late at night.
Yeah.
And all of us in the audience are going to agree that we're not going to tell anybody about this.
Right.
But Walter does those hearing aid ads.
Yeah.
And in the latest one, he says, I'd like to put my hearing aids in your ear so you could blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he's been saying that ever since.
Walter, that's disgusting. I don't want your hearing aids in my ear. That is the grossest thing I've ever heard.
But then you listen to the rest of it, and he says, you can get your own.
It's a great product, and it works for him, so I get it. But why are you saying you want to stick them in my ear? I don't want to touch... That's like, I'd love to blow your nose with my hanky so you can see how soft it is. No, I'm not doing that. That's disgusting. Keep your snot rag to yourself. Keep your hearing aids in your ears.
Yeah.
I'll try out a fresh pair.
Yeah, that's the point.
Do you think when you go to the hearing aid store, do they put, like, you know, little, like, sock condoms on them for you to try them on? Like you do with shoes?
No.
Because I wouldn't want to go into the store and go, yeah, this was on 44 people's heads before you, but shove these things in your canal. This will be great.
For you, I'm sure they could make accommodations.
I'd be walking in with a big thing of Lysol, like, yeah. Hold on, almost ready.
I got a fresh almost container there. Of disinfecting wipes here.
Yeah, then I get the wipes out. And then a Q-tip to dig in there, make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'll try them on. They slip right out.
Yeah.
Just greased them up so much. I don't know about that one, Walter. Let's change that copy, sir. Joe is in Downers Grove. Good morning, Joe. How are you, sir?
Oh, real good. Yourself, guys?
We're doing good.
Hey, listen, can I tell you a funny story first?
Yes, you can.
We're talking about senses and taste, smell, hearing, whatever. I once asked one of my wife's seven doctors, I said, which sense of the five we have do you think people regret the most losing? The guy looked at me with a, you know, a real puzzled look, and he said, first one you lose. Okay. Now the point of the call. This has been written up in the AMA studies about four or five times that I've noticed myself, and I find it peculiar, but my wife is a prime example. Females tend to lose their sense of taste, the acute sense of taste, faster than males.
Okay, and do they say why that is?
There's no conclusive evidence. It's just over the years, studies have concluded. You give a placebo, or, you know, a piece of whatever,
sure.
What does it taste like, so forth and so on. In these studies, they have no conclusive proof, but my wife is a prime example. She used to be, you know, loved to go out to dinner. She loved her filet mignon and, you know, whatever. But now, she's an Irish person, so I'll give her one excuse. Any meat and potatoes would be fine with her.
That's so interesting because, you know, they say if one sense gets weakened, the others heighten because of it. My wife, it's her sense of smell. Like, she has an insane sense of smell. Kind of drives me crazy, and I'm hoping she loses it someday.
Well, see, my wife has an accident, one eye.
Oh.
In her eye. She's like a cotton-picking falcon. With
the one
particular eye.
I can't tell how far away you are, but I know you're over there.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. The one sense loss, the other ones intensify, if you will. So with hers, her sense of hearing is also phenomenal. She can hear a pin drop, you know, whatever, proverbial mile away.
No kidding. All right, Joe, thank you so much for checking in. We really appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice. We haven't heard you in a while here on the show, so thanks for being with us. We've got news coming up next on 720 WGN. 847 says, thank you, Matt. Walter's commercial gives me the creeps. I have to mute the radio immediately because I can't help picturing that scene. I'm telling you, people. Okay, a couple more real quick ones, then we'll get to Roger's news. An effective way to relieve tinnitus is to have your ears cleaned once or twice a year by an ear, eye, nose doc. Might help your hearing, too. And then somebody else wrote, and this, speaking of, my dad complained about his hearing for years. We took him for a medical checkup, and they cleaned out his ears. Earwax plugs that literally, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled out earwax plugs that literally looked like cigarette butts out of each ear. And he was amazed at his improvement in hearing.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. Now, I clean my ears every day.
No. With what?
With Q-tips.
You're not supposed to do that. Shush. You're making it worse.
No.
Roger, you read anything about Q-tips?
Yes,
they
have.
They say, do not put that in your ear.
Yes, I have. If you slide it around the edges where you do not form a suction, you don't jab them into your ears. You don't
push
them into your ears.
But that's where that wax is. It's way in there.
It's... I know.
I'm telling you.
I'm very
773
well aware
says, Roger, my problem too. Thought it was headphones. Could be age. Great idea to get tested. Told the doctor he thought it was nothing. Love the show. And then 815 says, the cup of your ear. Also, if you have your back to the sound as you lay on your pillow, if you put your arm up in front of your ear, it increases the volume by bouncing the sound back into your ear.
There you go. See? Told you so.
Who'd have thunk? Hey, right after the news here, David Soucy, whyplanescrash.com. He's talked to us about MH-570 and plane issues over the years. He'll jump on with us to talk about that FAA slowdown. When I booked this, it was the FAA slowdown. That's going to be big news. Then suddenly, at the end of the day, we have a deal to reopen the government.
Right.
And but I'm betting the FAA slowdown is what finally did that and caused that to happen. But we'll talk to David about what to expect out of air travel after we do the news, after I tell you this. After topping Cleveland three times, LaVine and the Bulls go for the season sweep against the Cavs. That's Bulls-Cavs Sunday at 2 on WGN-TV Sports, a little bit after 1:30 in the morning. Let's get some headlines from Mr. Badish. Making a way through the crowd. It's Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. It's 1:38 in the morning. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high above Wacker Drive here on Michigan Avenue. No longer on Michigan Avenue, off Columbus Avenue, I guess, in the new WGN Radio Studios on Columbus Avenue. Thank you very much for being with us until 5 a.m. David Soucy has been a guest of the show many times. His website is whyplanescrash.com. You can follow him on Twitter at David_Soucy, S-O-U-C-I-E, for lots of great air travel and any accident investigation involving transportation. David, good morning. Thanks so much for being with us. I want to say the last time we chatted was... There was an Amtrak crash a year or two ago, wasn't there? Something was it? God, I'm trying to remember now. In Canada?
Yeah, that's right. No, it was New York. I think is where it was up in the New York area.
Okay. Yeah, it's so funny how the time flies by and things run one into another. And then we talked a lot back when Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 went down, and you had your book about that a year or so later. But it's been a while, and I'm glad you were able to jump on with us tonight. Thank you so much. It's interesting.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. When I reached out to you earlier today, there was what was it? LaGuardia at first, and then I think was it Liberty International had to start canceling flights. Had a bunch of problems because of course, all of these air traffic controllers, all of the TSA security people, have been working without paychecks for about a month now. And you wondered when eventually something was going to happen. I know I had read a story that I want to say, and I apologize if I'm getting this wrong. A spokesperson for the I think the air traffic controllers was saying people are making mistakes they haven't made in 10 and 15 years because now we're being overworked. There's a lot of stress because of the paychecks and all sorts of problems going on. And then this came to a head, and suddenly tonight, late on Friday night or later in the day on Friday, we have an agreement to reopen the government for 3 weeks. How much, and I don't mean to make you put a political hat on here, but how much of an effect do you think the issues we started having with the FAA played on the fact that the two sides suddenly came together to reopen the government for 3 weeks?
Unfortunately, I think that's one of the main reasons that something did go down today, because it waits and they wait until there's only lives at risk and then that are really at risk and not some kind of down the road thing. It's right now. It's happening now. There were 7,100 planes sitting there waiting to land that couldn't because there was so much backup today.
Did you say 7,100?
Yes. Yep.
Wow. So
there's
so
typically on any given time it was more like maybe 700, but not 7,100. There were that many planes circling, waiting to land.
And that's just crazy. And that's not just at those two airports. That must be nationwide because of what happens when planes are late and things like that. That the whole system gets mucked up.
Exactly. Yes.
That's crazy. Now, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I know you're saying that it's not till lives are at risk that they take action. My guess is, and this is the cynic in me, is that it wasn't lives at risk that made anybody take action. It was the economy at risk that made people take action, because I think if air travel slows down to a crawl, that truly will affect the economy, because so much business is done by people traveling across the country to meetings and things like that, that politicians realize this is going to be our undoing. If we shut down airline travel because of this. They're, you know, that's going to hurt us all, or one side or the other, whoever caved. But I think that the economy, I mean, how dependent is our U.S. economy on all of those flights happening every day?
Incredibly dependent on that. But I do want to go back to the lives at risk thing, because, you know, for 15 years, I was in charge of making sure that our budget, our FAA budget, got through to Congress and got passed. And we never had problem passing that budget because of the fact that there was never a congressman or a senator that wanted to be the one that didn't pay for the things that take us, that sure. keep us safe, you know. And so you'd end up, if someone said, no, we're not going to pay for the FAA to keep the FAA running, then you've got a lot of safety things that are happening, that if there was an accident, that no congressman would want to be the one that say, hey, we didn't have enough air traffic controllers or enough inspectors out there looking at safety for the airlines. So no one wanted to do that. So it's always been used as a tool. The FAA has always been used as a tool because it scares people. It's something you do every day, and it's something that no one wants to be the one that puts it at risk.
So, David, in all that time that you were in charge of getting Congress to approve that budget, I imagine at some point while you were doing that, there was a government shutdown. I know previous government shutdowns have been a very short amount of time. Never, you know, this was about double the length of the previous longest one, right? When you were part of that, what I don't understand is how in the world, because essential employees still get paid even during the shutdown. It's, you know, there's these weird tiers of some people just get laid off and you don't get paid and you don't work until this is over. Some people are deemed so essential that they work and they get paid, right? But then there's a third group sandwiched in the middle that's like, you know, you're kind of important, so you got to keep working, but you're not so important that we're going to pay you. And somehow that is where TSA and air traffic controllers have fallen. And I do not understand, like you talk about, the safety that's at risk here. How in the world are those workers not deemed essential enough that they keep getting paid during a government shutdown?
Yeah, there were a couple of furloughs while I was, or government shutdowns, in which we did not, we're not supposed to be paid, we're not supposed to be going to work even, but as essential employees, I was working out of Washington, D.C., and we were essential. There's a tier between what's essential for safety, for the safety of the country, and what's essential for the operation of the country. There's two different tiers. Mm-hmm. So when the tier gets down to the operation of the country, which is TSA and air traffic controllers, that's a tier that's been passed, and it never, in my career, it's never gotten to the level of getting to that operational tier where they take those operationally essential personnel and stop paying them. So this was really news to me today when I heard of it. And the only thing I can speculate is once when the government was shut down before the PATCO strike, if you remember that many years ago, that at that time there was a different organization in charge of air traffic control. And now the organization that's in charge of it evidently isn't considered operationally essential.
It doesn't make any sense, especially in light of September 11th. I know that's a while back now, but you would think that, you know, that is the safety of the country, that if we don't have people watching things and don't have people in control of things and overseeing like TSA does, like air traffic does, that's such a danger to the country. I would hope that after this, hopefully, once they work everything else out, that our senators and representatives come together to say, okay, next time this happens, because let's face it, it's not like it's never going to happen again, these people are deemed essential. They have to be paid. We have to keep the safety and the economy going if we're going to have a shutdown. It's just stunning to me.
Yeah, the Aviation Subcommittee is that entity that could do that. They could pull that off. And they certainly need to look at it. Oberstar was the last one that was really a predominant head of the Aviation Subcommittee. That was 15 years ago. But at that time, he really stood forward and said, look, this is something that's essential to the country. We're never going to shut it down, and let's keep it moving. But evidently, that has slipped under the current Aviation Subcommittee.
David, jumping around a little bit here, it's been a while, and I don't want to be a jinx or anything, but we've had... Have we had an unprecedented run of overall airline safety here in the United States in the last 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, in the United States, that's very true. It's been incredibly unprecedented, and I think it's due a lot to the change that the FAA and the airlines themselves have started working together to be more transparent about safety and understand how the whole system works. One of them was a project that I worked on. It was called OASIS, and another one was called the FSAS, Flight Standards Automation Systems. And those are safety systems that were put in place and patterned after the Sandia Laboratories safety systems, which is used in the nuclear industry. So that's really what's changed a lot, is just the way that we view safety and the cultural aspects of what kind of things, what is safe, what are the standards that we're going to have to maintain to in order to be safe. And I think those are panning out now.
Is some of it also related to a lot of Boeing and Airbus have sold a lot of airplanes in the last 10 to 15 years, and I think a lot of our airlines have modernized their fleets. Is that part of it as well?
Yeah, there's a project, this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, that was the Aging Aircraft Initiative, and that started after Air Alaska crashed when, I don't know if you recall that one, where the convertible airplane, the top of the airplane came off, and that started an incredible in-depth study of how long can airlines last, how long can they fly without falling apart. And so the aging aircraft was really behind a lot of that as to why these airplanes or why the aircraft have been retired and put back into service.
And speaking of new aircraft, so Boeing has this new 737 MAX jet, which I think is the one that has been kind of a viral video of its test flights where they take off at like a 90-degree angle and all this kind of fun stuff you see them doing in a test flight. But Lion Air had a crash with a Boeing 737 MAX. That was back on October 29th. I think just in the last week or so, they finally got the black box and the voice recorders. I don't think we've got too much details yet, but what are you hearing about what happened there?
Well, with Boeing, it really has to do a lot with the thought that technology advances much more quickly than our systems and even the human brain can conceive of all of the possibilities of what could happen. Now, they're so complex and so automated that we start relying on that. But in this case, what had happened was that Boeing felt that it wasn't necessary to tell the pilots about a particular fail-safe system that they had put into the aircraft. So when they were in an automated mode, if you turn off your autopilot, then it shouldn't really be doing anything to control the airplane. Whereas because they had added this extra safety feature, the pilot wasn't aware of that, and the airplane continued to reduce power and reduce thrust in certain areas where the pilot wasn't ready for it. So the details, it gets really highly technical at that point as to what happened in that particular incident. And like you said, the report's not out yet, but Boeing has really come back and said, look, we messed up. We should have told people what happens here. There's a few lines in the manual that say this is what is going to happen, but they didn't make it part of their training program. They didn't say, hey, we have this new way of doing things. And that's only one of many things. But I think that looking forward, that's going to be our biggest challenge in safety, is how do we maintain the human aspect of how they interface with these highly technical advanced autopilots and auto systems.
Well, so a lot of it comes down to training, making sure that the right training is getting to them and that they have enough time to train when the technology has really changed on an aircraft. So is it really coming down to Boeing saying, yeah, we changed this and we didn't tell the pilots?
Yes, that's really where it is. They've already made some changes to the manuals and to the training, which I really applaud Boeing for doing. You know, they could have just sat back and waited and said, look, we're going to wait till they come out with a reason for this accident, but they didn't. They said, look, we see how we could improve things. We're not going to worry about accepting responsibility or anything. We're just going to say, hey, look, this is not the right way to do it. We need to change that, and they are changing it right away, not waiting for down the road to point fingers at somebody else.
Yeah. Well, that brings us back to one of the great mysteries of the modern era now, Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Remind us again the title of the book that you wrote on that crash, David.
Oh, it's a ridiculously long title, but it's Malaysia Airlines MH370, Why It Disappeared and Why It's Only a Matter of Time Before It Happens Again.
And refresh us real quick, your theory on what happened in that crash was...
Well, it really comes down to two different possibilities. One is something nefarious, where the aircraft was was brought off course and intentionally ditched somewhere. That's less likely in my book. I used an algorithm that I've been using for 20 years on aircraft accidents. I take the verifiable facts and compare them to each other and validate them that way. So by doing that, it was more likely in my mind that there was actually a fire on board and that the pilots had steered the aircraft away, because the first turn that they made was directly towards their major maintenance base, the place that you would fly this. So you think of all the 360 degrees that you could have turned the aircraft to, they chose the one place that would be the direction they would fly to their major maintenance base if something critically wrong with the aircraft, knowing that it wasn't going to take off again and had to get back to the major maintenance base. So that's my first speculation, and there's the book goes into much detail about why I believe that, but I think that's the most likely still in my mind, even after knowing and finding parts and pieces of the aircraft. I think it still aligns with that thought.
So I've talked to various, I've talked to you and like three or four different people who either study crashes or wrote books over time. One gentleman named Larry Vance wrote a book a couple of years ago. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's an award-winning accident investigator from Canada. And he says that, you know, to him, it's case, I think the title of his book is Case Closed. And he says it definitely was done purposefully. And he says there's, you know, that if you look at all of the data that's come out, especially maybe even since your book's come out, they were avoiding the turns and things they made. They were avoiding detection, and that the way the pieces that have been found look like the plane was intentionally tried to land on the water, or else, because if he believes it would, if it would have just run out of fuel, it would have crashed violently. And because of the way pieces have been found, the few pieces that have been found, he believes these guys intentionally, or one of the pilots, intentionally was trying to put this plane somewhere where it would never be found. Do you think there's any validity to that?
Well, there's, at this point, no one knows, so there's validity to any speculation that you may have. But to say that the case is closed before there's even evidence of that is irresponsible on Larry's part. And I know Larry, and I admire him and respect him, and I've heard that and read his book. There's one key point that he points out that I think is totally erroneous, and that's the location of the flapper on the flap that was found in the air, in the ocean. Had the aircraft, which I believe came off in the air, I don't think it even came off by hitting the water. If it had come off hitting the water, then the leading edge of that thing would have been destroyed. I've done enough aircraft accidents to know what happens to airplanes when they hit the water. And that aircraft, that piece of the aircraft would have been lunged forward into its mounting, and that's not the way this thing came off at all. It came off, and there would have been bending and warping on this flapper, and there was none of that. No evidence of that whatsoever, indicating that the aircraft did come down rapidly, but it came down in a way that would not have been controllable. It would have been, just like you said, a violent crash, but it would have hit the water in such a way that it was not intentionally tried to be landed. If it was, then the flaperon would have been destroyed in a different way. It would have been twisted and pulled backward. It's kind of hard to describe over the radio what would have happened, but it just, the pieces of the aircraft that we have found have shown, it hit the ground violently. No one tried to land that airplane. And that's what he's claiming that did happen, is that there was somebody conscious and aware. Two things wrong with that, too, is there wasn't enough oxygen on board to turn off and kill everybody on board and still be able to make that flight the rest of the way. There's reasons for that as well. Anyway, I could spend all night talking about things that dispute, and he could spend all night disputing the things that I put in my book as well, because simply there's just no facts. Right. There's very little that we can go by, but to say that the case is closed in the middle of something where there is no smoking gun, I think is just trying to put a case and a close on things that, as accident investigators, that's what we do. We want to know the answers, so we find those answers, and just through that prejudice that we have in our own mind, we make things up to fill in the gaps. And unfortunately, I think that's what Larry got into with his book.
David, now that the official search is over for MH370, what do you think happens? Is that plane found in our lifetime?
You know, I really don't think it is now. I don't think it's possible to find that airplane unless it's just some very, very strange thing that happens during some other kind of exploration or a piece of evidence floats up. But it, even then, I don't know where they'll find the actual the black boxes or anything like that. The thing that we have working for us, though, is if we do find that, those black boxes, the way that they're constructed in today's world, that evidence is still sitting at the bottom of the ocean and always will be. If we do find it, there will be answers, but I don't think it's very likely that we will.
David Soucy's website is whyplanescrash.com, and find him on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter, David_Soucy, S-O-U-C-I-E, David_Soucy. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. It's always great to talk to you. I hope we do it again soon.
Oh, you as well. I sure appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. David Soucy, again on Twitter, David_Soucie.com. We've got news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Memorial Newsroom next on 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show. 720 WGN. Thank you very much for staying up late with us, Roger, during your newscast. I was sitting there reading more and more. Whenever I bring up MH370, I get fascinated all over again. It's going to be 5 years in March.
What?
Can you imagine those poor families?
Oh, my God.
Who lost their loved one, never knew anything, still don't know anything, still the plane has not even been found.
That's the one where the families, like, came out to the where the offices were of the airline, and they crowded in. They wouldn't let the officials leave until they had word. It was, all the families were right there, and I remember the scenes of the crowded hallways and, and offices and everything. Just it's heartbreaking. It's just I mean, I know things sometimes things aren't perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Where, all right, plane goes down, we find the black box, we find some evidence, we come up with the best possible explanation. But sometimes, no.
Yeah.
And it's so strange that it's gone 5 years now. Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating, and it is amazing, and it is all of those things. Mm-hmm.
By the way, how many pizzas did you have?
I'm on, I had four. I still have one more I'm going to have, and then I cut off.
Shame on you.
I know. I did more than I should have.
You really did.
I really missed pizza, Roger. I
mean,
I really
do.
Miss it.
I know. Now you know why am I gluten free.
All of you people out there, if you haven't had a pizza at 2 a.m. lately, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Just once in a great while, treat yourself to 2 a.m. pizza. There might be no better pizza in the world than 2 a.m. pizza.
Yeah.
You deserve it, Matthew.
I do deserve it. You're right, Jess. Thank you.
Yeah, but just because you deserve it doesn't mean you gobble down five pieces.
I've gobbled
Roger,
down
quit picking
four,
on that.
And I'm going to gobble down one more.
Yeah, how many did I have?
Whatever you want.
No,
nobody's got a leash on you.
How many did I have?
Jess or myself are not the wife. We're not the one to tell you what you can and can't
certainly
do.
Certainly, she could care
you
less.
You
want to
go
I
ahead
eat.
And eat 18 pieces of pizza? Eat 18 pieces of pizza. You'll be the one regretting it, not us.
I had one, and
this is our year of personal responsibility, Roger.
I had just one. I'm personally responsible for one.
Why do you have just one? That's boring.
It was more than enough.
No, you're a liar.
More.
I don't believe you for half a second.
Jess, how many did I have?
Yes.
No, that
you
I believe.
Had one.
That I believe.
Right.
But when you say it was more than enough, that's a bald-faced lie.
I was already full from my other meal.
It's fake news!
Did you even eat your other meal yet?
Yes! I ate it when I came in at 8:30. And I've got another one in the refrigerator. Now I'm not going to be hungry. And then I got to go to bed when I get home at 6:30, 7 o'clock.
So just have another slice of pizza?
No, I'm not going to.
Why?
And I took two paper towels to it. To clean off
the grease
oil.
To get what, are you back in high school? You don't want to have a breakout?
Trust me, I do. I'm 66 and I still do.
Oh, man. Man.
But it was good.
So good, isn't it? All right, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to do some nonsense here for a little bit. But then here's what the plan is.
Okay.
And everybody can follow along at home. When we take our commercial break at 2:25,
yeah,
I'm going to sprint downstairs and outside. Jess and I park generally next to each other on the street, about a block and a half south of our building. What's the current temperature outside, Raj?
Hold on a second. The current lakefront temperature is 3 above. the wind chill. Let's see here. Doesn't give a wind chill for the lakefront, but it's 18 below at O'Hare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's actually warmer downtown, because when I was leaving West Dundee, it was in the negatives, and then my car climbed up a little bit. I got up to like 3 or 4 above when I got downtown.
Well, it's, the water temperature is warm, and we're right there. We're
Why
right on the
talking
water.
Talking about the water temperature.
Because it affects...
Who's going in the water? It affects what?
It affects the air temperature around it.
But I'm not over there. I'm over here.
We're... The river is right. You jump out the window.
The river's
You're
frozen
hit the river.
Now, I think. The river's 32 degrees. Didn't the river freeze up today?
I think somebody showed some
pictures. Hold on. I'm taking the headphones off. I'm going to go look. You keep talking.
Okay. So right now.
I think it was Krista who posted the pictures.
It was Krista?
Of the frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw it. They were actually watching it freeze over.
And John talking about it earlier today.
Yeah.
It is. It's pretty frozen. I see a little bit of water over by the Michigan Avenue Bridge, but right here. Snow has fallen on it, and it's sitting still.
Yeah.
So that water temperature
Well, it's not very thick,
32
though.
Or less. No. Well, I'm not going to go walking across
well,
or anything.
Of course not.
But let me just say that in Dundee, Illinois right now, West Dundee where I live, it is -8.
Yeah.
That's not good. And it's going to
-4 at O'Hare.
It's going to get
the
down,
air temp.
Going to get down to -14 by 7 a.m. by my house. And that's not with wind chill.
Right.
It's -6 in West Chicago.
We've got 4 below readings in River Forest, Addison, Roselle, 7 below Elgin and Racine.
Yeah, there you go. Elgin's right by me. So what we're going to do when we take the 225 break, I'm running downstairs.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Justice's keys, my keys. I'll be on the phone.
Okay.
When we get out of the break before news. I'll get back on the air. We're going to make sure the cars start.
All right, so... You're gonna? Am I gonna cut to you as our field reporter during the 2:30 news?
No, not during the news. Before,
okay.
So we'll take the break, and hopefully by the time the break ends, I will be outside.
Oh, okay.
And Jess will have me on the phone, and I will set up. I'll still send you the news like I do, but right before we do that, we'll live on the air.
I gotcha. Live.
See if our Jess and mine's crappy little cars will actually start in this weather.
Now be careful with the phone, because you do know that batteries freeze up.
Batteries on the phone?
Yeah, any battery out in the cold will freeze up.
So you're saying I got to crotch my phone?
Yep. Warm that puppy up.
I don't really want to do that. Can I just keep it in my coat?
Well, how are we going to hear you? You'll be muffled.
No, I'm going to have my headphones on. I got the little earbuds.
Those. So okay.
If,
oh, yeah.
If that doesn't freeze up.
Yeah. No. The battery
will. So I'm going to start my car. I'm going to start Jess's car. And then during the news, I'm going to crank the heat on those suckers, Jess. We're going to warm those things up as best we can. Make sure they run.
They'll be frozen by the time you go out after 5.
But at least 2 hours before we'll have started the car. That makes me feel a little better.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea if that has any bearing. Some mechanical car will go, dude, you're an idiot. It's not going to make any difference whether your car is charged. But I think the battery getting charged up and moving and blah, 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 blah helps a little bit. So we'll do that, and when we get out of the news, you'll come back, and we'll see how they're doing.
Okay.
And then we'll take our 2:30 break. We'll get that out of the way while I run back upstairs.
Okay.
And I'll be frozen like a popsicle. Because I shouldn't have worn jeans tonight.
Jeans
are the worst thing to wear in
real life. Why?
Because
they're warm.
They freeze up, and then you move, and they kind of crack as you move.
Really? Where do you buy your jeans at? My jeans are fine. I wear them when it gets cold.
Your jeans out is the
question. This is why I only wear leggings.
Yeah, just as smart. She looks. I should have worn my. I should have worn a pair of like athletic.
What kind of jeans? Ray jeans.
You buy Ray jeans?
What kind of jeans?
He's just talking to you off air now. That's a rule on this show.
I'm not talking to him.
Well, who said Ray jeans to him?
Roger. He's just talking out loud. I don't know.
I couldn't understand what you were saying. That's why I asked you. Just
Ray
tell me on
jeans?
The... Who?
You did talk to him up
No,
there.
I didn't.
Jess, you little cheater.
She tried to, but I didn't hear anything.
Jess, that's like a dollar in the punishment jar or something. I can't believe you. And the thing is,
Roger,
I can
see
you.
You're hearing things.
You're right here in front of me. What, are you like ventriloquisting
Do you see my mouth moving?
No, I'm not saying anything, man.
You would have seen my mouth moving.
I will come to her defense. She did not whisper in my ear.
You said she just said it off the air. You told
no,
her
she said
on
it
the
on
air.
The air, and I was asking her.
She did not say Ray Jeans. Get those,
I swear to
get
God, she said something Ray something
out of your ears already.
Ray Rye Roo Roe something God. Kind of
she
jeans.
She said she wears leggings.
Oh, leggings. Excuse me, let me cut my ear again. So, oh, I can hear much better now.
Jess, can you get Roger his cornucopia? And
yes.
See if Walter left his hearing aids out there. Let's just stuff those in Roger's ear.
Roger needs them.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm telling you, folks.
While we were chatting earlier, a text poured in from my mother.
This hey, Mom.
To my phone. I don't know if she's still awake. So I was out of town last week. You know, I went to Florida and stuff like that for a conference. We'll talk about that later. But 1:32, my mom texts me. And you got to, I don't know, Roger, I know that I have Jewish friends who tell me that Jewish guilt is quite a thing.
Extremely.
But the Catholics are pretty good at it,
too. Yeah.
So my mom writes, well, now I can go to sleep. I stayed up just to hear your voice so I would know that you're okay. Did I ever tell you that I used to call my mom every day, even when I was living in Las Vegas, until she got so sick? Just saying. Look at that little shady, passive-aggressive...
Way to put the guilt trip on, Mrs. Bubala.
I would get it every time.
She's terrible.
That I would call...
Did I ever
call,
tell you that I used to call my mom every day, even when I lived in Las Vegas?
I would call, like, once a week, which isn't a lot.
No, but it's good.
Not with my wife who was there every day. And I would call like once a week. And I'd say, hey, Dad, how you doing? I usually call when I'm on the road.
Yeah.
And, Dad, how you doing? He says, what, you can't call more often? You know, your mother's been asking about you.
Yeah.
And I go, Dad, I'm sorry. I've been very busy. He says, too busy to pick up a phone.
My grandma does the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She calls me like 6 times a day.
So she calls you, Jess?
Yeah.
Roger, did your mom or dad ever call you, or they were just giving
If it was more than a week, he would call and say, where have you been?
Okay. So my mom tends to almost never call. Now, she'll tell you, if my mom was here, in her defense, she would say, when I call you, Matthew, you don't call back. Or she'll say, well, you guys are so busy with the kids. I know that, you know, I feel bad. You'll just call when you can. But she doesn't call. But she gets on me all the time about it.
Well, right, because it's you who have to call. Why should she call you?
Absolutely.
That
you
defeats
are my
the purpose.
Son, who I took care of his whole life and carried for 9 months. You should be calling, you know, and I get it, and she's right. But, so she writes that. So I can't just be the good son that says, oh, my God, blah, blah. Instead, I write back. So she says how she used to call her mom every single day, right?
Right, so she's setting an example for you.
So I wrote back, did Grandma know that the phone worked both ways?
But that's not the point again.
No.
Yeah.
So she writes back, no, her phone only took in calls. It didn't make calls. And now my sister has that very phone. Because apparently my sister has a call. She has a call. And I wrote, I think you must too. She wrote, and you don't have a good track record with me as far as answering texts or phone messages, though you are good at answering me when you're on the air. Go figure.
Wow.
Oh, God bless you, Mom.
You're just being... a quality host, just responding to your listeners.
Yes, by personal text or online at 312-981-7200.
If she doesn't call you, she could just call into the show.
She could. She could just call in.
Come on, Mrs. Bubala.
Yeah.
When does Jess get to meet you?
Oh, well, what?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Jess, you'll never meet her because if there's any threat of precipitation or anything, I'm not getting in a car. Boom, take that, Mom.
My grandma is the same way. She will not leave her house if it's like raining or snowing or something. And then she'll call me like 8 hours before anything happens and be like, it's supposed to snow tonight. But she's very cute, so it's fine.
I'm worried about Bridget. She, for justifiable reasons, she's not heading out with the snow and the ice and the cold.
Yeah, it's going to be a long week for a lot of people.
Yeah, she's going to be struggling. I'm going to be stuck inside with her.
And that's okay, Raj. I think it's a good week to be stuck inside. I mean, you know, let's look at what we got going here. I'm going to give you, let's all do this. Roger, on your phone, do you have a weather app?
Yeah.
Okay, so you pull up Evanston, where you guys live.
Well, it gives me the weather of where I'm at.
You don't have set in your home?
No,
I only have an update wherever you're walking around?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can set other places.
Well, set it.
But it sets for Chicago.
Jess, you pull up what area, Jess? West Chicago?
Correct.
So you pull that up. I'm going to pull up Dundee, and I'm going to tell you guys, here's what we going on.
Okay.
What we have going on. What we going on. Tonight, down negative 15 for the low.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, we have a high of 8 in West Dundee, a low of negative 5 tomorrow night. Sunday, mm-hmm. a high of 8 and a low of 6.
Okay.
But here's where it gets interesting. Sunday night, here's our forecast.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Cloudy with snow. Chance of snow, 100%. 5 to 8 inches of snow expected in West Dundee on Sunday night. Monday morning, snow will taper off and end during the morning, but skies will remain cloudy. Chance of snow, 80%. 1 to 3 inches of snow expected. So I'm getting all sorts of snow. Monday, a high of 26. I'm running around in shorts and my shirt off.
Yeah. Sunday, we have... This is for along the lakefront. Sunny skies, 13 degrees for a high.
Not bad.
12 for a low. Monday, snow, mm-hmm. 29 degrees.
How much snow are you supposed to get?
You know, I'm just looking at, it's like the summary for each day. I'm not looking at the details. That's just the way my phone is set up.
Okay.
It's so it just says Monday, snow, 29 degrees, high, 0 for a low. Boy, that's a big difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Tuesday, partly cloudy, 3 for a high, 17 for a low. Wednesday.
Wait, 3 for a high, negative 17.
Negative 17
right,
for low.
Right.
Wednesday, partly sunny, 9 below for a high, 16 below for a low.
Well, if we're playing a little handyman poker here, as they do on the John Williams Show,
okay,
I'm going to trump you with this, because on Tuesday, out in West Dundee, our high is negative 2.
Mm-hmm.
Our low... Negative 23.
Oof.
That's before wind chill. They're talking about,
yeah.
I thought I heard your newscast earlier, about
30.
Negative 50s for wind chills possibly
right.
later this week.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, our high out in West Dundee is negative 14.
Yeah.
That's the warmest.
Well, you're
it's
out in
get.
The boonies.
And again, negative 23
Nothing
for a low.
Wrong with that.
Thursday, negative 2 for a high, negative 14 for a low.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, negative 4 for a low. By Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to be just dancing.
I've got snow on Sunday. That's Super Bowl Sunday.
On Super Bowl Sunday, we've got snow accumulations less than an inch.
Oh, okay.
For us.
And 29, we also have snow.
29
that we're pretty
is
much
high.
The same.
So now I put in different cities
mm-hmm.
that I've been to that I want to keep an eye on.
Sure.
London, cloudy 46. Milan, sunny 31. Oof, cold. Wait a minute, Milan? Ooh, snow on Wednesday in Milan.
New York and Milan.
Las Vegas,
you know
52.
What, do you know
I've
what song that was?
One.
It just popped
no.
into my head when you
no.
said Milan. I'm too sexy.
Oh, you're kidding. You know the lyrics to that?
I remember him saying Milan.
L.A.?
Yeah.
56 right now.
Texter from 815 says, good evening. Heard your conversation about air temperature in different places. I'm in Rochelle, Illinois. Weather Channel app says it is negative 15.
Oof.
Negative 15.
As a temperature, not as the wind
chill. In Rochelle.
All right.
That's the temperature. And in Dundee right now, it's negative 8. So you want to look at SETIs, you want to be at a blah, blah, blah. Cancun, 72 degrees right now.
That's chilly.
Should be doing the show from Cancun.
I agree, Matthew.
Thank you, Jessica.
Let's make it happen.
Let's do that.
Ooh, guess what time it is?
What time is it?
2:25.
Yeah, it's almost time. I got him in here. Let's do a couple of texts, and then I'm going to get all fired up here and ready to go down. Hey, Jess, where are your keys? I need your keys.
Do you need them right now?
Yeah, let's have.
She's got them stored away in a vault.
When we go to the break, I am sprinting downstairs.
Okay. Side note.
Oh.
So. Valentine's Day, I'm going to Nashville.
Yeah, you're going to be missing.
I'm going to call in, though. Because,
you're going to be up?
Yeah. I'm going to be doing cool things.
Jess, I don't know how to break this to you, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're really young.
Yes.
And you're going down with your hopefully someday fiance.
Maybe.
To Nashville. Oh, you might take somebody else?
Whoa.
No, Stefan's going
with. Wait a minute here. Wait
so,
a minute.
The two of you, young, beautiful people, are heading down to Nashville
uh-huh.
on Valentine's Day weekend.
Yes.
If you're calling me and Roger at
yeah.
2 in the morning,
there's something
that weekend
wrong with
ain't
you.
So good.
Yep.
You should be doing other things at 2 in the morning if you're still awake. Not calling the radio show.
But we're going to be out. Probably at bars or something.
At 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
All right. If like you're still out, if you're still out, call us. If you call
today.
Us and you're all, Stefan's sleeping, so I'm calling you for that. We're going to be like, you know what, Jess, this is wrong. Don't do that. Okay? So only if you're still out.
Okay, Matthew.
Deal? Okay.
Sure.
I love how she calls you Matthew.
Bring your keys. Oh. I'm getting the guilt from all sides now. 773, not cool complaining about your mom. Some of us do not have our moms anymore. Oh. Well, I'm sorry that you don't have your mom anymore.
I don't have my mom.
But I bet you complained about her sometimes when she was around. Good evening. We had Rochelle. 301, my father never calls us. We have to call him.
There you go. The ultimate guilt.
Yep.
Not even going to.
630, we have a regular time each week for each of our grown sons to call home, and my husband calls his parents every Sunday.
That's nice.
Very good. Well, we're going to get a taste of our own medicine next year. Jack's going to go off to college, and then we're never going to hear from him.
Yep.
And I'll turn into my mom. Well, you know, Jack, if you would just call once in a while, then I know what's going on.
He'll be back. They always come back.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. You didn't get the check?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm really sorry.
Nebraska called. Funny how they can call me.
Yeah.
When they need something, but not you. Huh. Somebody asked, what's the name of the pizza joint again? We threw our business back to Papa Nino's.
Mm-hmm.
Although Jess thinks the guy that she first called hung up on her.
Well,
I think they were upset.
Talk about not calling.
I think
calling.
It was just a disconnected call.
Oh, sure.
No, but talk about not calling and letting them know
they
how
did.
We are.
You know, we had a couple weeks ago when we were talking pizza, who was our listener from Aurelio's in Naperville?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
We got to get an Aurelio's one night. Have you had Aurelio's, Roger?
Not in a long time.
Jess, have you ever had Aurelio's
long
pizza?
Long time.
Negative.
Oh.
I think we had an Aurelio's at the station over the Trib Tower many years ago, but from the one, it's... I don't want to say
there's
River
one in
North.
The South Loop. The River North one, I think, closed down. Now there's
oh,
one.
Oh, really?
There's one in the South Loop. There's one up at Wrigley.
Okay.
Right north of Wrigley.
It might have been the South Loop one.
It's the pizza I grew up on, and man, is it good.
Really?
It is good. It is good, good, good. Okay.
All right.
I'm putting the coat on. We're going to start the cars. Make sure that everything's still going to work right. Right after we take this break, we'll check the news, and then we'll do that next. 720 WGN.
Are we live on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hello, Roger Badish.
Well, hello there, stranger who's calling from an unknown location.
Oh, it's known. Dragging South Columbus Drive.
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit.
You okay over there, Matt?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can now, but you were breaking up a little bit.
Well, that was me running and breathing heavy.
Listen, turn the radio down behind you, will you?
There's no radio on. There's nobody on the street. Just me and my frozen jeans walking down to our frozen cars.
So how far away from the building are the cars?
Half
a block
and a half.
A block and a half. I thought you guys were closer.
It's our building, and then the building behind us is that big Radisson Blue Hotel and Tower.
Right, right.
And I'm walking past that, so we're right across from the Aon building.
Oh, okay.
That's about a block and a half, right?
All right. Yeah, yeah. Well, you're huffing and puffing, walking fast.
Well, you know, you have four pieces of pizza, and then you go for a run, Rog.
That'll teach you.
At least you're getting your workout in, okay?
Where you're supposed to do it. At least what?
At least you're getting your workout in.
All right. I'm entering Jess's car. Jess, how does your car work? Is there no key? It's just a fob?
You.
I'm not seeing a key.
Yeah, so you just put your foot on the gas, and then there's
right,
a little button that starts
that
it.
Button. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, it fired right up, Jess.
Well, that's
fired
good.
Right
it's a new car.
Did she leave the heater on and the radio on?
Yeah, radio's on, heater's cranked.
You're not supposed to do that. Turn them off.
Why?
Because it's too much strain on the battery.
Oh, for goodness sake, Roger,
come on.
Start it up. Okay, hold on.
All right.
Get in the CRV. See if this baby goes. Come on, people. Yeah. That's up right away.
All right. So,
are you saying yeah to the butt warmers?
The butt
warmers. Can you give us a play-by-play?
Butt warmers are cranked.
Oof.
Butt warmers are cranked. Heat is cranked. It's 5 degrees in this car right now.
Wow. That's Jess's car, right?
No, in my car now.
Oh, in your car now. Okay.
Got them both going. Fired right up.
Wow, you're a quick mover, man.
Congratulations. Nice job.
All right. It is 2:35 in the morning. Let's check news headlines now with Roger Badish. Hello, Roger Badish.
Are you there, caller from outside of our studios? Matt Bubala is our mystery reporter on the street. Well, it's no mystery. We know who we are.
Why is it a mystery? I mean, I told everybody I was doing it.
Matt,
I
have found you a mystery for many years.
Well, thank you, Roger Badish. Now, you said it is 3 degrees at the lakefront or four? What did you report?
Three at the lakefront.
We're at the lakefront, right? Do we consider ourselves right now at the lakefront?
Yeah. We're a healthy stone's throw.
My car said 5 degrees.
Okay.
Jess's car said 11 when I sat back into it. It has been dropping. It's down to 8 now.
Oh, actually, I've updated, and it is 1 degree along the lakefront.
Ooh, it's getting chillier.
Yep.
But here's the problem, Raj. Is Jess there? Is Jess still there?
She's here.
Jess, there is an indicator light on your dashboard.
Oh, no.
What?
That maybe you need to add some water. It looks like little waves and then like a thermometer on top of it.
That's the water temperature.
I think it's
like a water temperature thing. It's blue, yeah.
That just means my car is cold.
Not sure that's what it means. Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
What kind of
a
fancy car does she have?
Well, I had that before, and then Stefan told me he looked it up and said that that's what it means.
That the car is cold?
Wait a minute. Hold on. What did you got again?
I've never heard of an indicator that tells you your car is cold.
What do you got, Jess? A Toyota?
I have a 2019 Toyota Yaris. It's like a little, it's a blue light, right? It looks like a thermometer, and there's like a little wave at the bottom of the thermometer.
Blue water temp light. Just bought a, the thing is, with fire, the blue light of a thermometer has some wavy water comes, sorry, my computers are slow today. To me, it's a sign the cylinder head gasket might be, can anybody help me? Completely normal, my friend. The blue light just means the coolant is cold. You only need to worry when the red thermal light comes on. This means the coolant is too hot.
Matt, don't scare me like that. What are you doing to me?
That just seems really odd, doesn't it?
It's a fancy schmancy car. What do you want?
It has butt warmers.
It has butt warmers on it.
That's fancy schmancy. She had to add the butt warmers herself.
Look, I don't get a blue light or a red light. My figure just has a face.
You're probably still cranking your car.
Yeah. I got to run outside and turn it.
I also have leg warmers in the passenger side seat.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, rub it in.
I posted a picture on our Facebook fan page of the light in Jess's car, if anybody wants to comment on it. Okay. It seems weird to me that it's like, by the way, the coolant is just fine. Here's a light to worry you about it.
I just put air fresheners in my car, too.
Ooh, what
the butt warmer's working, I'll tell you that much.
Are you ever going to come back from the butt-warming car?
Here's the thing. It's not as cold out as like it could be. Like, if this was Wednesday night, if we were filling in for Nick or something,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'd say, hey, I'm just going to do the show here from the car.
Right.
And then, you know, because it's nice and toasty in the butt-warmers.
Mm-hmm. How much gas you got in the car?
Just had a full tank. Very
Ooh,
proud of her.
Very nice.
I was smart and I filled up.
Good.
Yes. I filled up all the cars today, too.
Yep.
Not fun. It is windy out, though. I'm walking back right now, and the wind is biting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it snowing?
No.
Okay,
not
so
a flurry in the air.
You're lucky you don't have a lot of precipitation coming at your face, too.
You know what amazes me, though, Raj? Think about how cold. Boy, I'm going into my Jim Cantore mode right now.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm live on the street. And there's puddles of water. And explain to me, when it's 0 or 1 degrees out, why are there puddles of water? How is that everything on the ground frozen?
Right.
Big puddle it's right here in front of the CVS. A bunch of them.
Because the salt works up to a certain temperature, I think something like 20 below or something like that. So it can still stay moist within
but
the salt.
But I see big puddles here that aren't exactly full of salt. There's some salt in them, but you'd think at least
It doesn't take much. There's the chemical in the salt that interacts, and it's able to melt, technically, the precipitation so that it stays that way. Now, the problem is, if we get to Wednesday and it gets so cold, where are you going now? What are you doing?
I'm walking by the hotel. What is this really pretty hotel here? The Radisson Blue. And they had heat lamps in front of the door.
Ooh, oh, really? So are you going to be there for a while now?
Yeah, Matt's not coming back.
I don't think so.
I tell you, I think about it, but I'm really freezing them off right now. Holy cow.
Yeah?
This is bad.
I want everyone to know.
This is a walk and a half walk.
I want everyone to know that at 3 o'clock this afternoon, Mr. Matt Bubala was the brains behind this idea. And he is kicking himself in his unwarmed, butt-warmed.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
We're going to take one for the team,
Jeez,
Matthew. Thank
frozen.
You.
How fast can you run? We just lost him.
Hello, Matt?
What? Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
You screamed Let's into the phone and cut out.
Let's throw it
oh,
to
he's
a
good at that.
We'll come back. We're going to get warm next on 720 WGN.
North and south and east and west of your life.
From Tony Bennett.
That's right. With Michelle Legrand.
I have only one.
She tickling the ivories?
Yes, he is.
Oh, Michelle is. He is.
Michelle Legrand passing away.
Academy Award winner, is that what you were saying?
Academy Award winning, wrote over 200 film and TV scores.
Wow.
And Laurie Shelley, who is a local singer who has been on with Rick Kogan before, toured with Michelle Legrand.
Okay.
And I'm sure that Rick will be reaching out to her for the weekend, maybe, or at some point. She has just started either she has just recorded or she has just filmed or is getting ready to do a show of tribute to Michelle Legrand. But he has passed away at the age of 86.
Just by coincidence, she was already preparing a show?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. He won the Academy Award for Best Original Song for Thomas Crown Affair, 1968.
The original Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah, the original.
The remake with
Right, with Steve McQueen, right?
Okay.
Academy Award for Best Original Score for The Summer of 42 and for Yentl.
Yentl.
The BAFTA Award for Best Film Music, which is BAFTA's the British
awards,
Film Awards.
Right.
Summer of 42, which, by the way, is a fantastic film.
I never heard of that until.
Oh, you have to watch it. It is so super sweet. It is a beautiful film. It really is.
Okay.
Golden Globe Award Best Original Song for The Thomas Crown Affair. AFI Award Best Original Score for Dingo for 1991.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Yeah, I don't know. He was, let's see here. Select a Sky albums. I Love Paris, Holiday in Rome. Let's see here. He worked with Stan Getz, Sarah Vaughan.
You keep going. I'm going to stand over here in front of a fire and heat up.
Yeah. By the way, are you cold?
I am very cold.
Yeah? Seriously?
I just realized it. The pants have warmed back up. I'm telling you, Roger, jeans and the sweater are the worst thing ever. Oh, by the way, there was a text about that. I have to read that. Hold on.
About the jeans?
About jeans, yeah, because I mentioned how cold the jeans are. And then a texter said, you got to get lined jeans. I get them from Cabela's, Bass Pro, or Duluth Trading
Company.
They come in either flannel lined or fleece, super warm. Mm-hmm. And one bonus, they stay up, unlike wearing long underwear, which seek their own level, usually a different height than your jeans.
Oops.
See, 816, thank you for the information, mm-hmm. But the secret weapon you don't have is fat, apparently, because when you're carrying extra pounds, like Raj and I are, the long underwear is screaming for forgiveness and stays right in place.
Yeah, it's, I haven't worn long underwear since I was in grade school.
I still wear it.
Really? Yeah,
we go out in cold weather. When Jess and I were at the Winter Classic.
The hockey game.
Had my long underwear on. You bet I did.
Wow.
Yes, Jess, did you have something?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Stefan has some long underwear, too. He has those pants, like that texture was referring to.
Yeah, the flannel inside?
Yeah, they're his favorite.
I've seen those, but and I used to have flannel slacks. You know, the kind that you would walk and that would make that frum sound every time you walk.
Those are corduroys.
The what did I say?
Flannel pants.
Flannel.
Which I said are pajamas.
Thank you. No, I didn't have flannel pajamas.
Well, by you should get some because they're very warm.
Yeah, I don't need them. I'm warm. I will wait for you.
Thank you.
Awarded. Oh. These are the Academy Award nominations. Okay. 13 nominations for the Oscars. 5 Grammys. Nominated for an Emmy.
Did he ever get a Tony?
No, he didn't do theater. Let's see here. Where did I just see it? Oh, I Will Wait for You is from The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, Windmills of Your Mind for the Thomas Crown Affair. That's what he won for. What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life? How Do You Keep the Music Playing? Which is, Tony Bennett does a great rendition of that. Papa, Can You Hear Me? And The Way He Makes Me Feel, both from Yentl. He wrote those.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite a career. But he lived to 86, so lived a good, full, long life. Do we know how he passed away?
Hold on a second.
While you're looking that up, 708 texts into us. Hey, Matt and guys, I'm wearing them right now at work. Chris from Midway. Outdoors at Midway, wearing the flannel jeans. Good. Smart man. Good job, Chris. And while Roger's looking, do you got an answer?
Yeah, he was getting ready to do more concerts
in April.
It doesn't say what he...
how he passed away?
Yeah, no.
Roger will break back in if that news becomes available. Whoa. Mike is in Schaumburg in a loud car. Hey, Mike, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're good. What's going on?
Hey. Well, today's the first day I put long underwear on all winter.
Oh, okay.
We keep talking about it. Yeah. I work outside. I'm the garbage guy. Talk to you about the Christmas tree.
Sure.
And you give me the tickets to it.
By the way, wait. Mike, are you the one that told me that my Christmas tree gets cut down in July?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
But I do... When I buy live trees, I buy them from John's as well. He cuts them down.
I'll tell you what.
October, early November.
Got my Christmas tree from John's again this year. That thing was our best ever. It filled the house with that pine aroma for weeks on end. I couldn't believe how well it did. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. He's got excellent trees. Oh. But since it's just me and my wife, we decided to go with a fake tree this year.
Yeah. Tough. That's tough.
So, anyway,
sport the long underwear.
Normally,
for the
I wear
first
a
time.
Union suit. Yeah, normally I'd wear a union suit, which is a one-piece underwear with a trapdoor in the back end.
Okay, like you see in the cartoons.
Right. Exactly. That's called a union suit.
I never knew that.
And that is warmer than any thermal underwear out there.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Where do you buy that?
Oh, yeah. You have to get them online, or you can get them at the, the Duluth Trading Company?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen ads for Duluth Trading Company.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have some very comfortable underwear, supposedly. They advertise like crazy. Not long underwear, but like regular underwear.
They're extremely expensive. The store itself.
Yeah, no, I believe it. Well, thanks for checking. Mike, what do you? You're not out at work right now, are you?
I'm heading to work right now.
Heading to work. Wow. All right. Well, be careful out there. Stay warm. Glad you got the good clothes on, and have a good day, buddy.
Yeah, flannel-lined jeans and pants work the best cost off.
I'm going to remember that. I'll tell you what, next time, thanks so much for the call, Mike. Next time, so I'm happy now that we're not working this week in an overnight situation like on that Tuesday or Wednesday.
On Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. But actually, I have a client in town. I'm supposed to be downtown for dinner on Tuesday night. And I tried, I like sent him a picture of the forecast. I'm like, you sure you guys want to come this week? We'll be in Vegas in 2 weeks. We could meet out
there. Yeah, right. I'm worried about Thursday because I noticed that the cold and the snow are coming in. And this is how goofy my life is. So I'm wondering, one, if school's going to be canceled for Chicago Public Schools, and if my bowling, which has never been canceled, if it will be canceled because maybe too many people can't get their cars going and get to the bowling Thursday night because it's supposed to be way below zero and a lot of snow.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting. It will be interesting to see what happens with those things. And my guess is there's going to be a lot of kids off school this week.
Yeah.
Maybe not on Monday, depending on how hard that snow is, because they'll try, my guess is, to get kids in school on Monday because Tuesday and Wednesday are going to be so bad.
Yeah.
And you're right. CPS historically never calls off school. We'll see if they break down this week. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. You can hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. You heard the tone, it's 3 in the morning. Here's the news with Roger Badish.
Fucking cold weather, maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said you're around, man.
Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up all night with us, everybody. It's 3:07 a.m. We go until 5 a.m. when we'll be joined by Orion Samuelson for the morning show. Then you got your Mike Steven with Outside the Loop and Sweet Lou Manfredini, followed by John Williams. So it's a good day here at WGN Radio. Keep us on all morning long as you're staying warm, we hope. If you're running out, today, tomorrow is probably the time to go get the groceries for the week because Tuesday, Wednesday, negatives for the high temperature of the day, negatives down in the 20s for the overnight lows coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. But joining us on the phone right now is a man who will scoff at those temperatures because he's been to the South Pole. He's walked the South Pole by himself, I believe, for 50 days. The book is called Silence in the Age of Noise by Erling Kagi. We'll join him on the phone here in a second. I want to read you just a quick excerpt of the book because it's interesting thinking about silence. We have a lot of noise in our lives, not just our cell phones and our whatever we hold in our hand or the radio or whatever we have going seemingly at all times. Unless you're reading a book or a newspaper, do you ever have time for silence in your life? Maybe when you're not even reading anything. And does Erling mean silence just as in turn off your phone, turn off your TV? Or does he mean contemplative thinking and sitting and hearing the world around you without all the man-made noise that we create? He writes in the book, "At school I learned about sound waves. Sound is physical and can be measured in decibels, though I find it unsatisfying to measure sound with a number chart. Silence is more of an idea, a notion. The silence around us may contain a lot, but the most interesting kind of silence is the one that lies within. A silence which each of us must create. I no longer try to create absolute silence around me. The silence that I am after is the silence within." Erling, thank you so much for being on the phone with us this morning. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to us. But is it where are you at, Erling? Where are you located in the world right now?
I'm in Norway, just about getting ready to go out skiing.
To go out skiing. Excellent. Good for you. Well, it sounds like
that's
fun.
That's my life.
So is it about 10 in the morning there, I'm guessing? Is it about 7 hours out of us?
Exactly. 10 in the morning. Yeah. Beautiful morning in Norway.
Well, thank you very much for being on the phone with us. I was mentioning a moment ago, this week in Chicago coming up, we have a couple days with below zero high temperatures and lows down Fahrenheit in the negative 20s. I imagine to you that doesn't sound like that big of a deal.
Somewhat kind of clothes I'm wearing, but it's but of course walking to the North Pole that went down to -54 centigrade or about 60 Fahrenheit, But still, I think in Chicago, on a cold day with heavy winds, I still find it very chilly.
Good, good. Well, at least we know that we're as tough as a guy that's walked the North Pole, the South Pole, and Mount Everest. You've done the three poles, Erling. You've walked by foot on all three of those. And in the book I was reading about, I believe it was 50 days you walked alone at the South Pole. Is that the right? Do I have the dates right? The amount right?
Yeah, I walked for 50 days and nights under the midnight sun into this huge white nothingness. And I didn't bring a radio, so I did not have anyone to talk to. That expedition learned me a great lesson about silence, because, of course, back home, it's so much noise that they hardly hear or feel the noise, but down there it was so quiet. So it was very enriching, and also learned me, all the importance of silence. Later in life, I got three teenage daughters. I have a busy job, and life is very much about noise. And that's why I sat down to write this book about what silence is and where it is and why it's important.
Erling, in the book you write about when you're walking at the South Pole, that at first everything is just kind of a blinding whiteness. But the more you walk, the more you're around it, you start realizing that there's different shades and hues to the snow. There's different shapes in the snow, that it's not just a mass of one shape of whiteness, that there's all this texture and different definition to it. Is it the same thing with silence? When we gather silence around us, do we find that sort of like the snow, even though it seems to be one thing, it has many different shapes and forms to it?
Yes, I think that's a very valid point. And it's important to, keep in mind that your silence will be different from my silence. And in the sense that I think the most important silence is the silence within. Of course, it's great with silence surrounding us, but I still think, as I experienced towards the South Pole, that the silence I was carrying with me, that's always inside you and me, that's the most important silence. And of course, that silence is partly about yourself, and that's why it's different from you than from me.
Well, is there a type of silence we should be trying to achieve? When I think about sitting quietly with no man-made noise around me, no phone or television or radio or anything like that, I kind of think of that as, I guess, meditation-type silence. Is that what we're doing? Are we meditating? Should we be thinking? Or do you try to achieve a silence where you're kind of absolutely shutting your brain off and not, having thoughts or the life that you're leading fill your mind while you're sitting in the quiet?
I think, in a busy day, I think it's difficult to shut off the world for too long. So then I find silence when I'm having a shower in the morning. I find silence when I'm making breakfast for my kids. I find silence when I walk to the metro station. Maybe when I walk the stairs, I find silence when I'm cooking in the evening. And it's definitely when I do the dishes. But then, in the weekends, I can find silence while walking on skis or walking on my feet. And sometimes it's difficult, other times it's easy. But when people tell me that they're too busy to find silence, they're kind of too important to find silence, I don't believe it, because it's there all the time. But you have to make a little effort, because, of course, noise is the easy solution. And noise is very much about being distracted. It's about expectations. It's about living through your devices, your smartphones. But while silence is slightly more complicated to explore, just kind of start to listen to yourself and not living through other people or through your devices.
So that's interesting to me. I'm trying to think about, do we need to find, is silence like something we need to gather in quantity, like get time away from everything and have silence, or should we even be studying the silence in our every moment of life? So like when you're having a conversation with somebody, we always talk about the words that they say or things like that, but is the silence in what they're saying just as important? The pauses, the hesitations, is that something that we should be more aware of as well?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think, the silence during a conversation is very, very important. And also when you're listening to music, seeing movies, Silence is also very important. And but still, you know, I don't think anyone has to take it to an extreme. I'm not anti-technology. Technology has, you know, many good things. And a smartphone, you know, is making life in more way more easy, more simple. But unfortunately, it's also, you know, making people more depressed, more restless. People feel more lonely. So it has gone too far. And that's why I think it's smart now in our daily lives to just explore our own science. Of course, as I said, you can use techniques like meditation or yoga and mindfulness to explore silence. But I think that's good ideas. The silence I'm thinking about is you don't need any techniques at all. You just need to settle down, relax, you know, leave your phone in a different room and start to listen to yourself for 2 minutes or maybe a few hours.
My guess is that our views in the world have changed on silence very much in, say, the last 40 or 50 years. If we think about the technology that was available for our grandparents, they maybe had TV, radio, but didn't have everything else always inundating them. And I imagine silence was more commonplace. Nowadays, if things are, somebody might say, oh, it's too silent, it's too quiet, or it's like a scary movie type thing. When suddenly things are silent, you're on edge. And I wonder if you think that our view of silence is askew, that we don't think the right way about silence. We're scared of it. We're afraid of it. We want to fill the air with noise at all times.
I think that's a very good observation. And I think man has always had a hard time dealing with silence, doing nothing. But today, of course, it's so much more noise. And not only, you know, from the last 40 or 50 years, but I think just from the last 4 or 5 years, the world has been, you know, exploding in noise. And I look at my own daughters, you know, they try to avoid silence, they try to avoid boredom. And what I observe is that the more they try to avoid boredom, the more bored they get. And that's kind of opposite to my experience from being in nature, like walking to the poles or climbing Everest, is that the more silent I become on an expedition, the more I hear. And that experience is so fantastic. And I want my kids, you know, to have the same kind of experiences, not every day, but every now and then.
Erling, there was a reporter, I want to say from Time Magazine, I apologize, I can't remember now, I talked to about 3 years ago, and she had just gone on some retreat, like for 3 or 4 or 5 days, that was an absolute silent retreat. No phones, no talking, no anything. And after the first day, she thought, this is the goofiest thing I've ever done. But by day 3 or 4, she was really into it and said, like, she could see the flowers better and smell things better and was getting so in touch with nature. Do you think that silence can help not just clear our mind, but enhance our senses and our connection with the world around us?
Yeah, I think our experience is, you know, it's very common experience. As soon as you choose to, you know, explore yourself in silence, then you become hyper-aware of your surroundings and about yourself. But still, I once flew from Norway to Sri Lanka to go to this retreat in silence and do yoga and live healthy. I returned back home. I felt enriched. But I also felt a bit stupid that I had to fly around half the world to, you know, experience silence and have a different life because, you know, you could lay down in a bathtub or do walk, and then you will experience, you know, the same kind of silence.
Erling, your phone is breaking up. I know you're headed off skiing, so I want you to have some fun. I'm going to have to let you go just because the phone is breaking up a little bit tough on us. But if you ever get to the States, if you're ever in Chicago, I'd love to have you on the show again. You're fascinating. You've got so many great stories in the book. Again, it's called Silence in the Age of Noise. Erling Kagi, I hope we talk to you again, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Be safe on the slopes. Erling Kagi is in Norway. And the book is Silence in the Age of Noise. And it really is fascinating. And he has some fascinating stories. He walked for 50 days and nights on the South Pole, Raj. I couldn't last. I had trouble getting to the car to start it. And I was whiny that my jeans were too cold.
Yeah.
You know what pole I want to find? The equator.
Well, that would be a warmer pole.
Yes.
That's not a pole.
Close enough. It's in the middle.
It is. It's halfway. You're playing
halfway.
Fair. Yep. I don't want to play favorites with North and South. I'm just going to hang out at the equator, keep them both happy.
Yeah.
That would be the way to do it, I suppose.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Do you think you have enough silence in your life, Roger?
Actually, yes, I think I do.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very calm in a quiet room. I don't mind silence. My problem is, and this goes back to the hearing again, mm-hmm. My problem is, even in the silence, I hear a noise.
From the tinnitus?
I don't know if it's from the tinnitus or it's that I have so much noise pent up in my brain.
Yeah.
Not voices or anything.
You can't quiet
the brain. Exactly. Well, no. It's not the thoughts. I actually, it's like when you put the shell up to your ear, the conch shell, and you supposedly can hear the ocean. It's kind of that kind of sound that I have. Even if I'm sitting in a silent room, I hear the silence. Hmm. It's very strange. It's not like a rushing sound.
You're hearing noise.
I'm just hearing a noise, a steady, like a white noise kind of thing. Hmm. I don't hear silence. I hear the silence. Because actually, if you're hearing silence, you should be hearing nothing.
I would think,
right?
Yes, but you're hearing something.
I'm hearing something. And it's not like a wave. It's not like a rushing wind or anything. It's just, I just hear it. I sense it. And, but I'm okay with that.
When you say I hear silence, I picture silence as something you cannot hear, right? It's sort of like white.
Right. Yeah.
What color is white? Well, white is the absence of any color, right?
Exactly.
So silence should be the absence of any noise.
Well, no. Black is the absence of color. White is the combination of color.
It is? I got that wrong?
Yep. Because what do you remember the prism in science class? What was the color of the light going into the prism?
White.
White. And then it broke out into the rainbow. Black is the absence of color of white. Because if you walk into a dark room, it's all black, right?
But if I take
there's no light.
Every color in my Crayola box and combine it together, I don't get white. Get
you're talking like you're black. Talking light and paint differences. There's a difference. Because in light, there are three prime colors. They're not the same prime colors as in like crayons or paint or something like that.
I'm going to pull a Roger here now, and I'm going to look this up.
Go ahead. You go right ahead.
You're 100% sure that white is not the absence of color.
White is the combination of color if we're talking light, not paint.
Just yelling at me to take a break. When black is, by definition, the absence of color. Boom. Roger wins.
Bam. Remember, I taught television for a long time. Yep.
All right.
Learn something new every day.
Roger wins that one.
Now, if you take your crayons and you just start scribbling on a page that you've they'll all be black because that's the combination of the paint colors, the physical colors.
Another sign thing online explains it as black can be correctly identified as the visual impression experienced by a person when no light can reach the eye.
Right. But light can be broken down into the rainbow of light colors. Right. That actually, they're not colors, they're temperatures.
Oh, of light?
Yes. Remember, you walk into, you notice how you walk into different rooms that have different type of lights in them?
Like you're in these studios.
Exactly. Why do you think they have the color spectrum on that light switch over there?
For the temperature of the
color. It's the different temperature of the color.
Right.
Okay. Which equates to the hue of the light, which is the actual shade of the color.
We have a call about noise, but I'm going to take this quick break before the news, then we'll talk to Dan. And then after the news, Doc wants to talk a little bit about Jess's trip to Nashville. So lots to do with you guys at 312-981-7200 next on 720 WGN.
Most people go south for the weather instead of hiding out in the cold.
Good idea.
But just in case you want to change your mind, I'm letting you.
Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. We're having fun until 5 a.m. It's 3:36 in the morning. You can always jump on at 312-981-7200. You can call or text that number, 312-981-7200. Follow us on Facebook at The Matt Bubala Show. I posted a picture of the little warning light on Jess's automobile.
Looked a little out of focus.
Did you notice that? I was cold.
Well, and so was your camera.
I'm trying to heat up the car.
So was your phone camera.
Man.
Yeah.
Maybe her little dashboard thing was fuzzy because of the condensation of the chill.
Could be.
Anyways, people have texted in and said, yeah, that's just a light that literally means your coolant is okay.
A couple of things I want to add to our winter stuff, if I may.
Please.
First of all, and I'm sure Lou will be very proud of me for this.
Okay.
If you are in a house or even in an apartment, you should turn a spigot on, a cold water spigot.
All right, let's explain that to me because I've heard this my whole life and I don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay.
So the outdoor, my faucet outdoors?
No, faucet could be indoors. Do you have a basement?
Yes.
Okay. Down in the basement, you have a wash tub?
Yes.
Okay. Turn the cold water spigot on to get a drizzle of water flowing through.
And why?
Because the pipes get colder down there, and if the water continues to flow there, it will continue to flow above where it's warmer, and the water won't freeze up in the lower pipes.
Okay.
If it's not, then the water stays stagnant and can get colder and freeze faster. But if the water flows, then you have less chance of the pipes freezing up. And when the pipes freeze up, they can crack. If you have a stress point in any of the pipes, they can crack, and you've got a mess on your hands.
And so, we do the cold water because the warm water pipes are not going to freeze. You're not worried about that.
Exactly. Plus, they're coming from the hot water tank. They're not coming from the main water line, which is the cold water.
I see. So on that little tub in the basement, I had to set that to drip cold water for now.
Mm-hmm.
See, I've never understood that my whole life, and I'm sorry, everybody who's going to think I'm stupid now.
No, no, no. A lot of people don't know that. I thought you're supposed
to be like turning on the faucet outside, and I thought, why the hell?
That's
going
to freeze. The faucet outside, the one you hook your hose up to, you should have that covered.
Oh, that's not covered. It's never been in my life covered. Right. Who covers their?
You should.
You do?
I have.
Well, you have an apartment.
Yeah, but I take care of the stuff.
I've never done that once in my life.
Yeah, you should have a cover. There are several types of covers you can use. There are some that are like a foam rubber type that slips on, depending of whether you have a single or a double spigot.
Okay.
You can take some old rags and wrap that around, and just to keep the wind and the cold away from the inside of the pipe, where there might still be some water, you should not take a flame torch to any pipes that you think are frozen. The only way you should, if you have a frozen pipe, and I hope I'm saying this right.
Why shouldn't we do that,
Lou?
I'm just asking. Is it going to burst the pipe?
Yes. First of all, it's too hot. It's the same concept when you have frostbite. You do not stick your feet or your hands or your face into what you think is warm water when, in essence, it's boiling water and you will burn yourself. You put it in lukewarm water and you slowly bring the temperature of the skin back to regular body temperature. And you do the same thing with your pipes. You get rags that are warm, not boiling hot, and you wrap them around the piping to help slowly melt the ice inside to get the water flowing.
All right. 708 texts, I work as a garbage man. Today sucked, but at the same time, it was exhilarating. Makes you feel alive.
There you go.
Matt and Raj, my car says it's minus 15 in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin.
Oof.
Yiza.
Yeah. One other thing. We've been talking about the warming centers in the city of Chicago, and I know all the other suburbs.
That the city says, "Oh, we're not issuing a weather warning," but the
right.
But why wouldn't they issue a weather warning? What well, kicks into effect if that
on,
happens?
Hold on.
Just issue the warning. It's going to be cold. Just do it.
Hold on a second. I didn't type it in right.
630 says, Matt, I cover my outdoor faucets. Good insurance against problems.
There you go. Here's Chicago.
What do you say?
Frost.
Winter warning. Weather advisory today.
Warning.
Fall in Watertown, Wisconsin, negative 20.
Where?
Watertown, Wisconsin.
Yikes.
Oh, hater.
This is not...
Hold on, Doc. We're getting to you soon.
Okay. Sorry, Doc. Well, I'll look that up because there's a site on the city of Chicago that gives the specifics of when they issue the freezing warnings and stuff, and we're not there yet.
Let me give you one last quick story talking about freezing pipes and all these things. I had an issue yesterday, which I had once last year, I think, in severely cold weather. So we have a tankless water heater.
Okay.
When we moved into the house, there's a huge tub up in the master bathroom that has only been used to either wash the dog or when the trip was for babies, I could throw all three kids in there at once.
With the dog? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, if we need to. But so they had this huge water tank.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's the standard? Usually a 40 in a house?
For the water tank?
Yeah.
One of those tall jobs?
Yeah.
That's about 40 gallons.
Or 60.
Like
we
that.
Had like yeah. an 80 or 100 gallon, like this Oof. Huge monster tank.
Yeah.
And so when that got old, and I always hear Lou talking about tankless, so I went to a tankless. Well, we're on our second tankless water heater since we've lived there. And what that needs is it vents outside. You have an air intake and an air outflow or whatever.
Okay,
That's very important to it. And on the air intake, which is kind of low to the ground, they have a grate in there. I'm assuming so no small animals end up in your hot water tank. But in the winter, and where it's at in the corner behind our garage in the house, probably because of the setup, and when it snows and gets really cold, some condensation ends up in there and it freezes up. That grating does.
Oh, yeah.
And if that happens, no air gets in, hot water tank won't kick on. So the other day I had to go out there, and here's what I did. You'll either laugh or threaten to kill me.
Okay.
You want to warm this thing up to get that ice out of there. So okay. I've debated dragging a hairdryer out there on a long extension cord, but that's a little too much work. So what I did this time is I lit a birthday candle, and I held it up in there for a little bit.
What the?
To try to melt it.
Oh, okay.
Now, that didn't work real well. And I also, as I'm doing it, sitting there thinking, okay, if I melt this water and it starts dripping, once I take the candle, I'm not going to stay in here until the whole thing has heated up and completely gone. It's going to melt a little and then it's going to refreeze and I'll have the same problem. So that didn't work for me. So I found the tiniest, thinnest screwdriver I have and I just sat there and poked holes in the grating.
I gotcha.
Until it started working again.
Okay.
And that fixed the problem.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Look at you, Mr. Handyman.
Very proud of myself.
All right, two quick things. Wind chill warnings. This is from the National Weather Service, and it's also on the City of Chicago page, which I can't find right now.
Okay.
Widespread wind chill values around 30 degrees below zero or colder for an X number of hours, like a 24-hour period or 48-hour period.
It's hot out there.
Yeah. City of Chicago heat ordinance. This has been on the books for decades. If you rent an apartment, the temperature inside your rental residence has to be at least 68 degrees from 8:30 in the morning to 10:30 at night and 66 degrees from 10:30 at night until 8:30 in the morning. There are fines for violations. If you think that your apartment does not meet these requirements, you need to call 311.
66 is pretty chilly.
It is.
You're going to need to bundle up in some blankets if it's down to 66.
Actually, when the ordinance first came out, it was lower
on
the overnight hours. I think it was at 64.
Whew.
Yeah.
All right. Doc wants to talk Nashville. He's been hanging on very patiently for a long time. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Hey, great. How you guys doing?
We're good. What do you want to say about Nashville?
Outdoor faucet covers, $3 or less.
Oh, really?
That's They're cheap, styrofoam, huh? And they have a little bit of foam on the edge so that when you go to cinch them up, if you have an uneven surface like rock or siding, it'll still seal perfectly.
That's
Next
good
thing,
know.
Silence is overrated. Why would you choose Silence when you have AM radio?
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
I'm got 4,000 miles a week, so I'd listen to a lot of talk radio.
Oh, wow.
Now, Nashville, I love Nashville. I went there twice last year, and I was just asking her about their accommodations. Once we stayed at the Opryland Hotel, which is 2,800 rooms.
Wow.
They have like three tropical paradises that each have like a 4-acre skylight. The rooms open up onto those, and they have waterfalls, tropical plants. They must have 15 or 20 bars and restaurants. And they just added, and it just opened, 275,000 square feet indoor-outdoor water park with streams, and it's going to have a white sand beach during the summer.
All of this is in Nashville.
Yeah, that's all the it's the Opryland Hotel. It's like convention center and resort. When they built the new Grand Ole Opry, it is right next to it. So you could have a room there and walk to the Grand Ole Opry. And then I told her that the second time we stayed there, we stayed at a hotel that's less than a year old called the Cambria. And the main party street in Nashville is Lower Broadway, or it's called Lobro. The original okay. Grand Ole Opry, the Ryman Auditorium, is about two blocks from there. But there's probably 25 bars and restaurants, and most of those bars have music on either two or three floors. And the Cambria Hotel is like two blocks from there. So parking's really expensive. So we go there again. The Opryland's kind of like bucket list type place, although you could spend 3 hours just walking around that place.
Sure.
Also, the Country Music Hall of Fame is only about two blocks from Lower Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
We went to an exhibit there. We came out and we thought, I wonder if any of those restaurants we saw were open. We rounded the corner. There must have been a dozen places open at 11 o'clock on a Sunday with live music.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I've been to Nashville for a couple times for veterinary conferences for the work I do, and Broadway is so much fun, and it's a good time. Did you go over to the Hatch Print Shop at all? It's only a few blocks away from Broadway in one of the hotels across the conference center. Yeah,
didn't make
That's really
her it's
too.
It's like the bachelorette capital of the world now.
Yes,
I mean,
it
go
is.
Down there in warm weather, you'll
parties
see
like
15
crazy.
Groups of very drunk girls going around.
Yes, for all you gentlemen out there who are looking for fun, bachelorette parties are quite common in Nashville, and the ladies are, well, having a drink or two, it seems.
And then my two trips down there, each time I spent about $400 on music between... The Country Music Hall of Fame has a regular gift shop and then a shop that's just media, music, books, posters, and then there's the Ernest Tubb Record Shop. So if you're looking for vintage country music, which I was. But great places to eat. It was just a really good time.
Yep. I hear you, Doc. Thanks so much for checking in. We'll make sure Jess checks in when she's down there, okay?
Will do. All right.
Have a great weekend. You too, sir. So, Jess, you know, if you guys are out, you're allowed to call in. Otherwise, do what you're down. You know, have fun. Be with your hubby-to-be someday. Enjoy Valentine's weekend, all that, yada, 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 blah. You'll be calling us at 2 in the morning soon enough once you're married.
Complaining?
Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
Stay away from you guys, so. It's like a habit. I actually miss you guys when I'm not here.
Oh, listen to this.
Also, good news is I just looked up the weather in Nashville right now, and currently it's 32 degrees.
That's better than here.
It was a high of 48 today, or it will be, 48, 49. Monday it's going to be 59 there. It's going to be snowing.
Swimsuit weather. You know.
Yeah, it's going to be like 60 degrees when it's snowing here.
Is it going to be 60 degrees there when you're there? This isn't already next weekend, is it?
Well, Monday, we're supposed to get snow Monday, right?
What weekend are you going?
I'm going to be there the 15th through the 18th of February. Oh, okay.
That's not for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's three weeks away.
I know, but
you're really just giving us a heads up on that one, huh?
I'm just giving you a weather update. I'm being Roger Badish.
So the 15th, you go to Nashville. The 16th, so I'm doing the show. We'll do the show on the 15th like normal without Elif. But then that morning, I'm going to go straight from here to the airport and fly into Vegas.
You're not going to
be here.
Wait
a minute. Everyone's deserting me?
I will be here for the show because I'm not like Jess. I don't just walk out.
Oh.
I'm going to do the show. We're going to get off at 5, and I'm going straight to O'Hare to get on a flight at 7:50 in the morning.
Wow.
That's dedication. I was supposed to do the same. Actually, the reason I wasn't here last weekend, I was supposed to do the same thing. I had a 7:50 a.m. flight to Orlando on Saturday. I was going to do the show, go straight to the airport, get on the plane. But, you know, we had that big storm that was bearing down on us last weekend.
Right.
And United Airlines was saying you should change your flight, and they were waiving the fees and waiving the change fees. And so we thought, you know, we needed to get down there, and maybe we weren't going to get down there till Sunday then if that storm came in.
Right.
So we moved our flight up to Friday night. Steve Dale, who I work with, was coming down for the conference. He was going to do a show first on Sunday morning and then come. His flight on Sunday morning got canceled. He didn't get down there till later in the day because of that storm.
Yeah.
Sure, that's just your excuse. You ditched us last weekend, Matt.
Listen, I tried to be here. You're not even trying.
Yeah, you're just like...
You're just running off to Nashville.
You're giving us a, you know...
Heave-ho there.
Yeah.
Matt told me it was okay.
Wait a minute. How did this happen all of a sudden?
I didn't tell you anything.
Yeah.
Just make stories up.
Wow.
I'll bring you back a surprise, both of you.
It's fine. Bring Roger back a moon pie.
A moon pie?
No, bring back a, what's the famous Nashville thing? A goo-goo cluster. You got to bring back
some. I can get those up here.
I don't know what
that is. Well, they're better in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
You walk around Nashville.
Isn't that like marshmallow, peanuts,
and chocolate? And caramel.
Yeah, caramel, yeah.
It's pretty good.
But what about our diet?
You bring me one of those. Matt is losing enough weight for both of us.
A goo goo what? What
cluster.
Goo goo cluster.
Is this a real thing?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Delicious.
Are you just pulling me a trick?
No. Look it up. Look it up.
Let's combine our metaphors. Are you pulling me a trick?
Okay, and then goo goo cluster.
Yes, they're delicious.
Yeah, it's marshmallow, caramel, chocolate, peanuts. They sell them up here.
815 says it's -22 in Ringwood, Illinois.
Okay, it's made by Standard Candy Company.
There you go. See, that treat is made by a lot of candy companies.
It looks like a. What is this? Recipes? It looks like a cupcake.
It's not, but there's nuts. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's really in Nashville?
It's nothing cake at all. No, you find them down there. I think it's like a local delicacy. I'm sure, like Roger said, you can find them in a bunch of places, but I think they're born and bred in Nashville or something.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, it looks like there's a store called Goo Goo Shop.
I'm sure there is.
I'll go there.
They sell a lot of goo.
That might not be related to the goo goo cluster. I double checked that first. You know, if you stop along the highway at a lion's den, you're not going to see wild animals.
No.
Just so you're aware.
Don't let Stefan talk you into that one.
Don't let Stefan talk you into that one, Jess.
Oh, Matt.
No trips to the lion's den.
Oh, Matt.
312-981-7200 is the number. Coming up. It's the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. It's the Matt Bowles Show on 720 WGN. Another hour to go before Orion checks in and says hello. Are you staying warm? Are you nice and cozy?
I got one for you.
What do you get?
I just gave Jess the heads up on it. Two words. Frozen alligators. Have you seen this story?
No.
North Carolina. Alligators in North Carolina went into a deep freeze this week as a blast of winter cold gripped the region. Gators at the Swamp Park and Ocean Isle Beach froze in place with their noses sticking out of the icy waters so they can breathe.
Oh.
Swamp Park manager George Howard said 18 American alligators at the park froze Monday night and stayed frozen all day Tuesday. Alligators seem to sense when the water is about to hit the freezing point, and they poke their noses into the air at just the right moment. When the water or air temperatures dip too low for them to be active, the cold-blooded reptiles go into a state of what he calls brumation, B-R-U-M-A-T-I-O-N. First I've ever heard of that. Brumation is a hibernation-like state for reptiles.
That's pretty cool. So they almost go into like a suspended animation.
Mm-hmm. But they stick their noses above the water so that when it freezes around them, they can still breathe. Often during this time, an alligator will stay at the bottom of a body of water. An alligator can hold its breath underwater for 1 to 24 hours. They can live in water temperatures as low as 40 degrees. Their metabolism slows down dramatically, will go into a lethargic state. Those alligators thawed out within days and had no apparent injuries as a result of their deep freeze.
That's pretty wild that they can do that.
Isn't that something? And there's pictures.
I have a question.
I would just rather go inside. Yeah. Yes, Jeff.
So during this deep freeze, do they eat anything or are they just frozen?
They can't move. They're frozen in the water.
It's like they're hibernating. Like
They're hibernating. They're not eating anything.
They're frozen hibernation state.
Can they bite you still?
No, their mouths are frozen.
They're frozen. They're like frozen into the ice.
Yeah.
They stick their noses up above.
You could walk over to them and smack them on the nose if you want to.
Like tickle them.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Good call. You heard the tone. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. That means the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Now let's get your warm winter forecast with Roger Badish. Matt Bobala with you here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Here's what Black Dog Radio Productions was doing earlier tonight. We're broadcasting.
Were you calling the game?
I was not. That's young Jack Bubala.
Oh,
on the play-by-play. This was Hampshire High School and Jacobs High School. Friday night rivalry matchup. And I want to find a second for you here because Jack got so animated. It was hilarious.
Give
me another
second
or two of this.
They're having a little bit of trouble. That shot was by Hampshire ball. Shots it for three.
Aww.
10 points on the night.
One kid for Hampshire just got hot in the fourth quarter, and he just started draining threes. At one point, Hampshire was losing at the half by three, and they ended up winning by 10 or 11 points. This one kid starts draining threes, and Jack's getting very animated for both teams.
Uh-huh.
But it cracked me up. This kid hits like his third three, and Jack goes, "Get the fire extinguisher! He is on fire!" Oh, I was dying laughing. It was really.
Yeah, I was telling Patty. I saw this earlier. Do you remember the viral video from about a year ago?
Okay.
The Evanston High School freshman player who got the rebound and threw the ball almost the full court and nailed the three. And they won the game by like 1 or 2 points.
Do you remember that?
It was in the top five of ESPN's videos of the year.
Not of the year?
Of the year.
Not just of the day?
No, of the year.
Wow.
So they played the same team last night.
Mm-hmm.
And they killed them.
They were going to say
like 60-something to 45.
Okay.
The kid's a sophomore now.
Mm-hmm.
He tied the school record of 9 3-point shots.
You know, it's amazing to me. We're having fun doing some Facebook Lives, mm-hmm. seeing if, you know, just kind of testing that out. And so I've seen just a couple of high school basketball games recently. Kids are chucking up threes like crazy.
Yeah, I know. He scored 30 points. The Bulls need him.
Well, a few more years, they'll probably have a high
probably.
You got a shot.
I couldn't believe it. It's been a whole year for that. I'm going to pull up the video. Pull up the video.
312-981-7200 is the number. I want to tell you a quick story about So I was in Florida last weekend for this veterinary conference. And one of our big clients and good friends of ours are located in Kansas City. So their company, SIVA, was having a little get-together because the Chiefs were in the playoffs. You remember the Chiefs played the Patriots last Sunday night. And in Kansas City, it was going to be like really, really crazy cold. But we're in Florida, in Orlando, and so they were going to have a viewing party at Bahama Breeze. You know, it's a chain restaurant of, you know, cool drinks, whatever. And the Bahama Breeze has this big building, and then they have this, like, patio outside. It's covered, at least the roof is, and it's got a little bar and a bunch of TVs. So they're going to host a thing there. And I called it during the day because on Saturday, it was 80 degrees in Orlando.
Oh,
the high on Sunday was 54.
What?
And by game time, which was starting at 6:40 p.m., it was going to be down to like 49. And, you know, you go to Florida, you don't expect you need warm weather. You don't expect to need, you know, the Chicago clothes. So you don't have them. So I called the Bahama Breeze and said, hey, we're coming to a special event there tonight. Is that outside? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's outside. Like, all right, that's great. Are there heat lamps or? And they're like, well, no, we'll have the windows closed. It'll be fine. And I said, okay, but there's no heat lamps. No, there's no heat. Okay, all right, trust us. So we show up there. And when they said the windows will be closed, they must have been putting up the air quotes because windows means like plastic sheeting that goes from the roof to like the fence. And it's not sealed to anything. Like there's 2 foot gaps between each of these. So the wind is just howling in the whole time. And where you walk in, that's not sealed off at all. So it's like 48 degrees during the game as we're standing out there shivering to death watching this.
Right.
It was just an incredible game, but we felt like we were in Kansas City, for goodness sakes. And did you watch the Saints game? The Saints-Rams game? Did you see that missed call that they talked about all week?
I've seen it. I've seen the replays. But and so the final word is that the defenseman who hit him, he was fined.
He was fined?
That was it. 2 days ago, I saw the story that he was fined by the NFL. For inappropriate hit or whatever. I mean,
well, see, they can't do that. It must have been because I think there was also helmet-to-helmet contact.
It could have been, yeah.
But it was a, I mean, it was pass interference. Yeah, for sure, they should have been calling pass interference.
And somebody wants to sue the NFL now?
There have been a couple of lawsuits, and that's just the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. Nothing's
and the question becomes, well, should that be a reviewable play? Clearly, they could have gotten that right, right? If they review that, you see it and say, hey. But the problem is...
Now you review everything.
That's the thing. Like, in the NFL, on every play, there's holding, there's this, there's that.
Oh, sure.
That they don't call, if it's not part of the play, whatever. And I think that it's a slippery slope when you start going down that people are going to want to, you know...
Yeah.
...protest everything.
Yeah. Well, here's the audio. Actually, it was a game of the week on the U.
Okay, here we go.
So this was Blake Peters as a freshman last year. The Evanston Wildcats down 44-42 to Maine South. Same team they beat last night. And Maine South is at the free throw line. Okay, and let's see if we can take it from there.
You bend your knees and let it fly. And rattle in and out. And nearly take it away. That's for the win. It's on the line. It's gone. What a finish.
They've just crowded him on the floor. He threw it. He caught the rebound. And he was almost at... the free throw line at the other end of the court and heaved it. Swish.
And it was thrown one hand or did
he? One hand.
Wow. It's a heck of a lucky throw.
That was from a year ago. And then last night, 9 3-pointers tying a school record. He poured in 30 points for the night.
Sounds like you needed the fire extinguisher because he was on fire.
He's on fire!
312-981-7200 if you wanted to jump in. One other quick thing. We're talking about things that we fixed and things that have been broken. I told you about the hot water heater.
Right.
Jack's car.
Uh-oh.
John Williams' old car. That, you know, we bought our used, Jack's used car from John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Volvo S80 from like 2010 or 2007, something like that.
Okay. Got a few miles
on it. Recently, Jack's leaving in the morning for school. Cars start up. I go out and warm it up for him, usually.
Aw, you're a good dad.
And he goes out to leave, and he's having trouble leaving. He calls me. He says, Dad, my car is stuck in park.
Huh?
And I thought, okay, well, that's probably like, you know, when the wheel turns and it's kind of locked, and then...
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I go, I'm like, all right, I'll come out. I figure, you know, I'll move the wheels. Well, the wheel's perfectly straight. And I'm pressing down on the brake, pulling the thing, and the thing is stuck. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And it's stuck for a while, and then finally, after about 6 or 7 minutes, it gets into gear.
Huh.
And it happens to him a couple days in a row. So I start looking up online, because what I like to do these days is try to look something up online first. Because there's usually a video for just about everything. So before that's you go spend $200 or $300 somewhere, look up online and see what you can find out. And I start searching, you know, Volvo S80, car stuck in park.
Okay.
Things like that. And I come up with some videos. And there was a video about that, and this is interesting, if you pour, if a liquid gets in to like your gear shift area and drips in and drips down, there is a... I'll call it a wire that runs, in, at least in this car, next to the parking brake, that when you depress the brake, it releases this piece of tension on there that then allows the car to be released. It releases the parking brake, or not the parking brake, releases the gear shift so that you can put it into gear.
Interesting.
When you press down on the brake. And they said what happens is if you get some liquid in there or something in there that gets gooey on it, it's going to stick.
It doesn't release it.
And what seems to be happening is on the very cold mornings, it's getting stuck for whatever reason. It kind of gumps up harder maybe in the cold, whatever.
Maybe you need some more, a new fluid or something in there.
Well, you need to clean this thing off. So on the video, they show how to take off the, you know, take apart the inside of the car so you can get down there.
Okay.
So I'm following this, and I pop off the thing that surrounds Jack's gear shift, but you can't quite get down there. I can see down there. And, oh, by the way, Jack had spilled hot chocolate in the car. So it all made sense.
Oh, nice.
The reason I knew this is because he's 17, so he doesn't clean it up. There's just hot chocolate stains on the car.
Yeah, I see it.
So... I can't get down to it without really taking, in Jack's type of car, it's a bit of a major ordeal to really take everything off that I need to get in there. So I got just a little piece off that surrounds the gear shift, and I can see down there, and I can see this, some stains, but I can't see this one piece that I truly need to clean. But I see that there's some gunk, so I take a Q-tip that I had, I tape it to a long, thin screwdriver, spray some Windex on it, and I'm sticking it down there, trying to clean whatever I can. I do it for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Put the car back together. Tell them, well, if this works, it works. If not, when it's warmer out, we'll take the whole thing apart and try to do it. And it worked for a day or two, and then it stopped working again. And now it's just sort of like, it's working in that he's never sitting there for 10 minutes, really. He's sitting there for a minute or two at the most, and then suddenly it goes into gear.
It's not bad.
It's the weirdest thing.
All right.
But... trying to save money and not, you know, taking it to the mechanic and stuff like that. So, but I don't feel like taking the car apart in this cold. And I don't have a really, you know, I could do it in the garage, but the lighting isn't good. And it's still cold in there, and I don't want to sit there doing that.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out soon enough. But I just thought that's interesting. You know,
interesting. I've never heard of something like that.
Anything that you have go wrong with your dishwasher, with your washing machine, with your car.
It's all there. Well, I told
look
you about,
it all up online first.
I told you about that lady that claimed she built a house by looking at videos online. She built her own house.
I do remember you telling me about that.
I will look it up again.
312-981-7200 is the number. And I want to talk a little bit, just to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about taxation. After we take a quick break here on 720 WGN.
95 years of sports. Chicago's sports conversation as a whole. The Bears met the challenge. WGN Radio in 2019. 95 years young.
Homeowners, there's never been a better time to permanently fix your low water pressure, discolored water, or pipe leaks by repiping your home today. Repipe specialists have been repiping homes for over 25 years. With 40,000 home repipes completed, they stand behind their work. They have perfected the most efficient process for customer convenience, repiping an entire home in just 1 to 2 days, patching your walls, and providing a lifetime guarantee. Repipe Specialists only uses high-quality PEX or USA Grade L copper pipe. And for a limited time, get 20% off and 0% interest. Repipe Specialists, the no-hassle, value-priced, all-inclusive repipe. Call today for your free in-home estimate tailored for your home at 800-216-0195. That's 800-216-0195. 800-216-0195.
At GWC, we pride ourselves on being a preeminent injury law firm from Chicago. Our office is in Chicago. Our roots and families are Chicago. But despite what you see and hear in a lot of lawyer advertising, that's not necessarily always true. Many law firms that advertise in the Chicagoland market are not even from Illinois. And unless you ask the question and get an honest answer, you'll never even know the truth. Similarly, there are a lot of fine trial lawyers who actually try cases. Many lawyers, though, who advertise on TV and billboards and radio, truth be told, don't ever even try a case. They just want you to think they're ferocious lawyers in the courtroom. If you're looking for a Chicago trial lawyer to represent you in your personal injury case, call the trial lawyer firm with close to 100 employees right here in downtown Chicago, ready to get you the money you deserve, whether by settlement or by trial. I'm attorney Lou Cairo, managing partner and owner of the GWC Law Firm, and you have my word on it. Call us at 999-9999 or visit us at justicestartstoday.com.
Well, the Chicago elections are about a month away, and this week we learn how local community groups are putting racial equity front and center to see where the candidates stand.
Mike Steven is outside the loop later this morning at 6 on 720 WGN.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist. That's Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV. Stay warmer if you're dancing. Matt Pabala with you here, 720 WGN News coming up in 7 minutes. Orion Samuelson coming up at the top of the hour. Roger, we mentioned earlier that I had talked with John Williams earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted something. Let me see something. If you follow me on Twitter, at Matt Bubala, I tweeted earlier this week.
A tweet.
Exactly. I wrote, I'm very curious to see how the progressive ideas of at AOC, and that is Alexandria, what's her name?
Ocasio-Cortez? I believe so.
And Elizabeth Warren will play with the Democratic Party and into general elections. I firmly believe that most of us hold on to the idea that someday we will be super wealthy and don't want the government taking a large portion. So Alexandria, who's this, you know, fireball of a new representative from New York,
mm-hmm.
a young woman who, you know, did not come from wealth,
mm-hmm.
and is, I think, the youngest ever elected from New York to the House of Representatives, or youngest ever elected. I'm not sure. She's only, I want to say, 29, right?
Yeah, very
young. Very young and very, very progressive and very good with social media. And the only thing I'm hesitant about with her is these very progressive ideals, like, I believe it's on your 11 millionth dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you made $10,999,000, you would be taxed at whatever our highest tax bracket is. But her idea is that the 11 millionth dollar and whatever else you make beyond that would be taxed at a, I believe, 60 to 70% tax rate.
70%.
Which is high.
Yeah.
Really high. And I know that we used to have extremely high tax rates in this country. And I know that they believe, you know, blah, 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 blah. Elizabeth Warren, I believe, also came out earlier this week. She's exploring the idea of a presidential candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she made a statement about something about to the same effect.
Right.
Taxing the ultra rich, which I'm fine with. If our top tax rate is, say, I think it's 35%. Is that correct right now? I think it is. Could be wrong. But say it is. Then find your arbitrary number, say $11 million in a year, mm-hmm. and start taxing them beyond that at 40%.
37%.
37 is our top? Wow. So let's say we go to 45 then for the ultra rich. That'll bring in a lot more money too. But when you start saying 70%, I think that's ridiculous. Who? And John Williams made a comment this week. I think they were talking about our favorite, one of our favorite subjects on the show over the years, Ken Griffin, the richest,
oh yeah, I heard that part.
Illinois,
yes,
who
that he had just bought a spent the most money on a residence. A condo,
$38 million, four floors of condo.
Four floors, yeah.
So that'll add up. But John said, you know, he made a comment like, who needs $1 billion?
Yeah.
Like, you know, John just thought it was just disgusting that he's spending, you know, $250 million on apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And John's like, you know, who needs $1 billion? And that's sort of that attitude of, hey, nobody needs that much money. Why would you need that much money?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of need. It's a matter of you worked towards it. And then other people would say, well, nobody really earned that. You get that in some way, shape, or form, which is fine. Certainly, if you made billions, you've probably had help along the way that's helped you get there and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to say that that's not the case, but you're still the one that got that money. I texted John on Thursday, so I'm guessing you're saying he read this. I didn't
hear. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But I wrote, nobody should have $1 billion, quote. That's what John said.
Right.
And then I put dash, what we say when we reach the point in our life where we realize we'll never have $1 billion.
Yep.
Because if you think you're going to get $1 billion, you don't think the government should take 70% of that.
Right.
No.
No.
And I'll say this, whether or not you believe that people should or shouldn't be getting $1 billion or whatever, whatever your little socialist agenda is, who should get that money then? You're going to take 70% of my $1 billion and give it to whom? The federal government? I mean,
it's a tax. That's where it goes.
I understand that. But you're saying, oh, we need to do this for all these people. And I would say, you know, the government spends trillions of dollars each year and they're not helping the poor people. What makes us think that if you give them 70% of my earnings, now they're going to go solve the world's ills? Because it seems like government can't get out of its own way. It's always this deficit, the rich getting this, the poor always
sure.
get screwed and everything. So I don't trust the government to take my 70% and do well with it. I would trust private citizens more to be generous, to donate and things like that. And I know people think, oh, the rich, they're all screwing everybody and they're this and they're that.
Right.
If I'm not wrong, I believe America is one of the most generous countries in the world, probably more philanthropic than any country in the world, I would bet. I don't know that for a fact, but I bet we are. And part of that is because people have earned incredible amounts of money and they want to give it away and help people. And saying, let's let the government do it, to me seems silly. You know, the government will take my 70%, your 70%, and everybody else's, and they'll get like $8 billion extra dollars. And then suddenly, the next thing you know, we sold the Skyway and the lottery's not going to education and we're paying bigger tolls. I mean, it never goes where it's supposed to go. Why would I trust them to take 70% of whatever I got? I don't like that idea.
Plus, if you've got all that money and you know that the government is...
You're going to find ways around
exactly.
getting it. Yeah.
Yeah. You suddenly don't have that money.
Especially if it's 70%.
Right.
If it's 45%, maybe you're a little more like, well, you know, it's price of doing business. I made this much. Mm-hmm. It's that. But if you say, no, we're going to take 2/3 of whatever you make, you're like, well, then what the hell am I working for?
Yeah.
Well, that's my opinion. 4:30 in the morning. Let's get some headlines, Mr. Battish.
Saturday morning, I'm going away with my friend.
Jess, I'm already tired. This is not helping. This is going to bed music.
Sandpipers. Oh, yeah. Love that song.
Not doing the trick here, though, Raj.
What is she supposed to do?
I don't know. Keep us awake. Keep us dancing. Keep us moving.
Oh.
Got to get pumped up in 25 minutes right outside for those cars. And you said negative something crazy at the wind chill.
Yeah, those cars don't start by themselves, do they?
Well, now you got to push the key in. 312-981-7200. 847 says, good morning, Matt and Roger. It's a beautiful negative 18 in Bettendorf, Iowa right now on the thermometer.
Wow.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Good.
816, Elizabeth Warren's tax on the super wealthy is 2% of your wealth of everyone worth $50 million plus. 2% of every year. And they will perform an audit of all of your property of every kind and will include all residential, business, and personal property anywhere in the world. Do you want that much more bureaucracy? No, I do not. I am very progressive and very liberal. I do not like that idea. I do not like, you know, you pay your taxes when you get your money.
Right.
I don't love the estate tax. I don't love all these things because you already paid your taxes. Why are you being taxed again? Right. And this tax seems silly. Now, somebody else, 815, texted me, are you confusing accumulated wealth with taxable earnings per year with Alexandria's 70%? I believe that's like on earnings. So if you earn on your 11 millionth dollar, you get the 70%. It'd be, you know, a graduated income tax, right? She's saying first 11, you're fine. 1101, 70%.
Oh, I see.
And so that would be like, you know, on your taxable income each year, not your accumulated wealth. Sounds like Elizabeth Warren saying, hey, you already got all this. We're taking an additional 2%.
Yeah, so
that sounds bad.
Every
too.
Year you get taxed on how much money you made that year.
Correct.
So the tax would be on how much money you made that year.
For Alexandria's. But it sounds
right.
Like Elizabeth Warren's thing is just, hey, how much you have? You have that much? Okay, we're taking 2% of it. If you have more than 50 million, which, like Roger, we mentioned earlier, would just lead people with 50 million to go, we got to hide some money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And everybody would do that to try and get out of paying the extra.
A wealth tax. It would apply only to Americans with more than 50 million in assets.
You're talking about Elizabeth Warren?
Warren, yeah. Let me see here. I've already spoken. The wealth tax projected to apply to less than 0.1% of the U.S. households would raise $2.75 trillion over 10 years.
It's a nice little chunk of change, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And here's the great thing. So you're like, God, it affects less than 0.1% of people. So a lot of people would like that. But the truth is, and I firmly believe this, Roger, a lot of us still believe someday we're really going to hit it big.
Oh, yeah.
Company's going to go well. We're going to do something. We're going to invent something. We're going to win the lottery, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in general, while it would make sense for people voting Democrats to say, yeah, this is good because this isn't the majority of who we are, and even the richest of the rich will still be rich after this. It's not like we're taking away all their money. So you could see where people would, but my feeling is, is that people won't go along with that because in our hearts, we all think we're still going to be rich someday. And we don't like the idea of giving all that away.
Yeah, but there's a difference between thinking you're going to be rich and actually knowing that you are rich.
Sure. For the people that already are rich, they're definitely not going to like it. Of course.
Right.
But I feel that so many of us think, oh, I'm going to be rich someday. They're not going to want this tax. Because even though it doesn't affect them negatively at all, and probably never would, we're a lot of what-ifers, right? We like to go in our happy room. We like to think about someday when I invent that app, or I buy the lottery ticket, or I do this or that, I'm going to have $11 million. I'm telling you, there's a lot more people... I just don't see that type of thing passing. I don't see our income tax rates going
high. I think there are more people. I hate speculating about stuff, but my feeling is that there are more people who want those who have a ton of money to pay more in taxes than there are people who say there, but for the grace of God, go I when I win my trillion, million, billion.
Here's the difference in that, I think.
Okay.
If they were saying, all right, top is 37% for the mm-hmm. even richer, we're going to say right. top is 45%. Okay. I think then most people would say, all right, that's fine. But I think when you start saying, basically, we're going to punish you for having that much money. You make that much, we're taking 70%.
And that's how it comes across.
I think
as
people
a punishment.
Are like, you know what? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How do we go from 37 to 70%? It's really not fair and it seems silly. I think people will not go along with that. It's my firm belief.
Hmm.
Real quick, I called into John's show this week because he and Steve Bertrand were talking. This was the day that Donald Trump responded, ignored Nancy Pelosi's letter that said, hey, we should reschedule, responded instead to the letter she originally sent inviting him to do the State of the Union on the 29th. So he wrote back, blah, 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 we'll do it on the 29th. And so then she wrote a letter saying, I'm not going to pass a resolution to have a State of the Union until the government is back working, so we're not going to do it. And then the question was, and so John and Steve were all over Nancy Pelosi that, you know, John was really upset with her that she wasn't taking the high road, not doing the right thing. You know, why are you playing down to his level? You know, let him do the speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I called in because I was just like, you know, fine. It, you know, the high road is always the better road, right? But in politics, and let's set aside how you feel about the two different sides. You either hate Nancy or you hate Trump, probably. That's what it really comes down to.
Right.
Americans either hate Nancy Pelosi or they hate Trump, it seems right now.
Right.
There's not a lot of, oh, I like them both. I think they're fine. No, I don't think anybody's saying that. You hate one or the other. But they were all upset with her for you know, doing this. That, oh, you know, we should be having this. It's Save the Union, blah, blah, blah. And if you just step back and look at it, and the little chess game that they've all got going on.
Mm-hmm.
President, you know, she wrote him the letter saying we should postpone it. He wrote back a letter saying, you're not going on this trip overseas to see the troops unless right. you want to fly commercial.
Yeah.
So they had this little tit for tat going.
Right.
Then he responded saying, I'm gonna come do the speech. And she says, no, you're not. You're not doing anything. And so then it's like, oh, what's he going to do? And so they were all upset with her for taking the low road. But I called up and I said, listen, speaking purely politically, if you're her, take out how you feel about this or that.
Mm-hmm.
You're in this little war, this little standoff with the other party, and the idea is you're going to be the better person and let this person come to your house and say whatever they want for an hour and a half.
Right.
And, like, have this floor and have this national thing. Why would you do that? And I know it's history and it's tradition, it's this and it's that. There have been other times that presidents have delivered, you know, just written ones instead of speaking it. It's very uncommon, but it's like, I mean, I don't blame her, politically speaking, for using the tool she has at her advantage. Just like President Trump is saying, listen, I'll just declare a national emergency and build my wall.
Right.
Why should she say, hey, just come? Yeah, you're right. It's the right thing to do. Come and give your State of the Union. They're acting. Steve and John were kind of acting like, well, you know, the president has to do this. And it's like, well, the president tweets all the time. It's not like we don't know what the state of our union is. There's a lot of, you know, available information around. We know
right.
GDP. We know everything. What's he going to say in this hour that you're like, well, thank God he got this time because I didn't know about that. There's nothing. We know what's going on. It's going to be a political speech where she's got to sit behind him and look grumpy the whole time. The Democrats will sit and boo or not cheer. The Republicans will cheer wildly. And he'll talk about this national emergency. So, in essence, it would have been a political speech. She's in a little political battle with him. I didn't blame her for playing it that way. And in the end, I think it certainly worked in her favor. The polls were getting worse and worse for him. And he doesn't get the State of the Union. He ends up backing off, which I was impressed and surprised by that the president did that. Said, you know what? She's right. We'll just wait. We'll do it when the government reopens. You know, it really needs to be in the House where it should be. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, he could have done a rally somewhere. He could have gone to the border and done a live event. There's all sorts of ways President Trump could have given a State of the Union address had he really wanted to.
Right.
And I don't know if it all comes down to polling and, you know, his team saying this looks bad, we should do this or that. But for whatever reason, he said, all right, that's fine. We'll hold off. And I thought that was interesting, but I thought that was, but so So he takes so John's complaining about, you know, Nancy not taking the high road. The president, in essence, you would say, took the high road, said, mm-hmm. fine, you're right, we'll wait. Ann Coulter comes out. And Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and Laura Ingraham, who are the ones who bullied Trump, basically. This is a hilarious thing, because President Trump can be quite a bully when he wants to be, but he let these conservative, you know, pundits bully him into demanding his border wall. You know, after the Republicans had a bill, a spending bill ready for him to sign that he had agreed to sign. But then these conservatives like Ann and Laura come out tearing him apart for not demanding the wall.
Exactly.
So then he says, all right, I'm not going to sign it. They're right. I got to get the wall.
Yeah.
And now he's demanding a wall 2 years too late.
Yeah.
Because he should have probably tried it when he had both houses, you know, had the House and had the Senate, but right. he didn't. Now he's saying, okay, here's when I'm doing it. And it's like, why would you do that now? And now he's backed down a little bit. I don't think the Democrats are going to back down at all. I think they're going to be willing to fund drones and more Border Patrol agents and things. But there's no reason why they should give money for that wall now that they have control of the House. And I would think they're going to stick to it.
But if they give money for border security, I'm wondering, I guess it could be written into the proposal, the specific language.
It is, but, because Nancy kept saying all along, oh, we'll give all sorts of money for border security, but not a dime for a wall.
But yeah, but I'm wondering how they can do that. If X number of dollars is given to Homeland Security for operational purposes.
I don't know that they just whatever. Do it like that. I think they do it for to drone technology, to adding more
but,
security.
But I don't think they need to be, I don't think the budget proposals are set up that way if there is no line item account for specific things. I've covered enough city budgets and county budgets to know that budgets can be manipulated. And if there are, if you say, construction of something or the erecting of something or some sort of terminology that makes you think that there's not going to be a wall, but ends up being a wall because they're, one side is claiming, well, that's what we meant by this wording.
But listen, Roger, if that was the case,
yeah.
He could have started building the wall a while ago with whatever money they had.
Exactly.
I think that they can word it and
I don't think they had the money, though.
Well, there's always money that's being spent on stuff for border security.
Yeah, but not enough for him to be. I think it was all already earmarked for other things.
Well, I think this
it has to be specific.
Well, there you go, then. You just answer your question. It's earmarked. And yeah. I'm sure that Nancy's making sure that whatever's written down, you know, precludes it from being spent on the wall.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. We got 3 weeks of a reprieve, thank God, and I think the FAA thing did it because...
Yeah, it got scary.
If planes stop flying, the economy stops, and then Trump's really in trouble because it looked like the polling was indicating that people were blaming him more than the Democrats. And
yeah, but that was the polling for that was over 2 weeks ago.
But they say that it was getting worse, I believe.
All right.
And then that FAA thing
right.
is going to look bad. Yeah. So thank you, air traffic controllers, for at least getting everybody their paycheck for the next couple of weeks before we go through this again.
Well, for
we'll see if we go
also taking it seriously.
But so then Trump takes the high road, backs down on the State of the Union, says, you know what, we'll do it when it's over, it's fine. And then sign a 3-week agreement saying we'll negotiate during this, but let's get these people back to work. And there's Ann Coulter tweeting at him,
yeah.
Congratulations, Donald Trump. You are now the weakest president of all time, I'm paraphrasing, weaker even than George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man. I can't believe, but for a moment, I'm feeling bad for President Trump.
You can't win for losing,
yeah.
as the phrase goes.
It's like, you know, you got the whack jobs on this side, the real whack jobs that are your base, your supporters, you know, Ann and mm-hmm. Sean and Rush and these guys, they're going to be with you no matter what. And now they're tearing you apart.
Yeah. It's a thankless job, which is why I've never decided to run.
Well, it's a good thing, Roger. And we're all thankful for that.
Thank you so much.
So 3 weeks for the next 3 weeks,
Yeah.
We've got the offices back open. Hopefully everybody's going to get their paychecks, and things will get a little easier for travel and for the workers. And that's the other thing, though, Roger. I wonder, maybe it was a bunch of things leading up to it, but they also made some real bad missteps. The Commerce Secretary saying, I don't understand why these people are in lines. And then President Trump saying, the grocery store will work with you. People will work along with you. I can't imagine you going into the Jewel and going, you know, I'm not getting a check. Do you mind just working along with me here? I'll get back to you when I can.
Right. No, that's no.
What kind of Mayberry is he assuming we're all living in, where Aunt B says, oh, you know, Johnny at the store, can I just get that slab of beef? I'll get you next week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's how things work anymore.
It's like Wimpy. Remember
I will
Wimpy?
Gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. I do remember Wimpy.
Yeah. And that, I just couldn't, when I heard the Commerce Secretary saying, well, they could take out loans.
Yeah.
Government secured loans. And I'm thinking, I'm already in debt. Why do I want to go further in debt? And then when I do get paid, now I got to pay all this money back.
Plus interest,
and then I'm still broke.
Not interest-free loans, right?
No. They're guaranteed loans.
What
does
that mean?
But it's a loan.
What does a guaranteed loan mean?
That means it's secured at a certain rate, I would imagine.
Either way, it doesn't sound real.
Yeah.
I think they made some missteps that made them look worse. And so that gets tough. And the whole other thing, you know, we don't have time to get into it. But this whole Covington Catholic High School thing.
Oh, don't go there.
I haven't bothered really reading it, but I'll tell you what. All you need to know is look at that kid who is staring the
Native American
man in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a crappy little high school kid who's a jerk. And you can come out and say, oh, I did this, I did that, and they hired their PR firms, and they're on the Today Show. Give me a break. That is the classic teenager who is not a real good kid at that age. So it doesn't mean he's not going to be a great kid when he grows up, but he's a 17, 16, whatever-year-old kid, just being a word I can't say, right? I mean,
yeah,
just
you
being
can't say.
A stinker. And the people coming out defending them, now President Trump is inviting them to the White House. Oh, my gosh.
And then one of the church officials in that area apologized.
Well, they threatened that they would expel the kids, possibly, at first blush.
Right.
We'll review discipline even up to expulsion.
But I
then
think the latest...
Did they retract their apology?
No, it was... let me see here. Priest calls January 21st. Wait a minute now. Is this the one?
312 text. Anyone with common sense has 6 months' expenses put away in an emergency fund. Congratulations, 312, on your common sense. I think about 85% of Americans do not have the common sense that you have, but I'm glad that you do.
Here we go. Covington Bishop apologizes to Covington Catholic students. Bishop Roger Foyles of Covington, Kentucky, issued an apology Friday for a January 19th diocesan statement. Did I say that right?
Diocesan.
Thank you. That condemned the actions of some Covington Catholic High School students following the event in the March for Life in Washington, D.C. We apologize to anyone who has been offended in any way by either of our statements, which were made with goodwill based on the information we had. We should not have allowed ourselves to be bullied and pressured into making a statement prematurely, and we take full responsibility for it.
My God. The kids, maybe they were goaded, maybe there was other issues, maybe whatever, they were still being stinkers. And somebody, 312 texts me, or I'm sorry, 630, Matt, you do not know that kid. Surprised you were stereotyping him. I do know that kid. I probably was that kid, and I knew that kid when I was 17, and I know 17-year-olds. You look at that look on his face as he's standing there, as this guy's doing this. He's being an SHIT. We all know that. We all know that. So the whole backlash for this and that, and oh my God, these kids are doing this, whatever. They were being idiot teenagers. It's fine. Move on. But all this fighting back and forth, and now this fighting back of I had every right to stand there, and I was this or that. Oh, God, give me a break. All right, got to take a break and say good morning to Mr. Orion Samuelson next here on 720 WGN. It is 4:58 in the morning. Time for us to say good morning to Mr. Orion Samuelson. Hey, Big O.
Good morning right back at you here in Huntley, Illinois, nine below zero, but it feels like 23 below zero.
Why are you in Huntley? You have WGN West.
I know it, and that's what our friends in Arizona were saying, and that's what our friends here were saying. You're going back to that when you could be here in sunshine and warmer temperatures.
Did you just come back?
But some work activities said time to fly back. So
you're going to be here for Tuesday and Wednesday night?
Yes, I will be. Wouldn't miss it. Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes you enjoy Arizona all the more when you get back, right?
It certainly does.